Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday, January 6th, 2010, 8 p.m. edition of the show. I'm your host, Mr. Thomas Tarbaby Sotomayor. Yes, that is correct. I am the dark-skinned brother of your world, that the more you fight against, will put you in deep with my people. And first off, I'd like to thank you guys for showing up big time in the last show, as the phone lines were lit up, and I apologize for any calls that were not able to come online. I would like to thank those of you who were new to the show, and those of you joined after show for the first time, because I must say that might have been one of the funniest after shows I've done in a while. Now, what I also want to say is that a lot of the people that was on the after show were pretty nasty, because all they did was talk about body odor and accident, just all kind of mess. And I'd like to introduce young lady, Miss Gigi, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Indeed. And I would like to talk to Miss Renee, Bishop. Yeah.
I'm here.
Hey, Renee.
What
did I tell
you
about this? I said, quit it.
So
what did I just tell you about Judge Cooper? What did I tell you about Judge Cooper? Or maybe bring up the offline company. Online. This is your girl, my view. I'm your host, Mr. Thomas Sotomayor. Did you guys get a little fun while I said out there, Tom Baby? Did you ever read the book about Tom Baby? Or we go there. Oh.
Okay. You got to do the testing 1, 2, 3 because
really?
We're going in and out. Yeah.
Wow, this is crazy. Y'all crazy.
Nah.
This whole lot is crazy. Okay, how's it sound? I mean, am I being heard now?
Yeah.
Yeah, for that second.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I wanted to ask you, Giselle. Did you read the story about the Tar Baby?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
No? Oh, well, what about you, Bennett? Did you read the story about the Tar Baby?
I didn't read it. I've heard of it, though.
Y'all don't know? Brer Rabbit? None of that? Y'all don't know?
Brer Rabbit?
Brer Rabbit, yeah. Y'all, man, anyway, the
That's
man put
from
a anyway, there's a rabbit in it, and he put a the dude was trying to catch the rabbit. So what he did was he put the Tar Baby up on the middle of the street. And the rabbit was too fast to catch, but he stopped and he saw the Tar Baby. And he walked up to the Tar Baby, and it's basically a little thing made out of tar. And he went up to it, and he started talking to it, but the Tar Baby wouldn't say nothing to him. So he tried again to talk to the Tar Baby, and the Tar Baby wouldn't say nothing to him. So he got pissed off at the Tar Baby, and he punched the Tar Baby in the face. Of course, when he punched the Tar Baby in the face, his hand just got stuck in the tar. So he tried to punch him with his other fist. Then he tried to punch him with his feet. And basically, that's how he got caught.
Oh.
Anyway, I don't know why I'm telling y'all that story, but I'll just let you know that's why I got the name and why the pun was, you know, anyway. I couldn't hear him. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. This is Your World, My View. This is the Wednesday night edition, and in the last show, we discussed the idea of sexual fantasy versus relationship reality, and can the two coexist? I would like to start with you, Renee. After all the phone calls, after all the fun we had, what did you walk away from the conversation thinking?
Really, my stance on it never changed. I think that they can exist. I think that the fantasy and the reality can exist. It's just a matter of communication.
Ah, the matter of communication. Giselle, what do you, or what did you walk away with? It? Did you change, did your mind change, or did you do the same thing as Renee and walk away pretty much with the same thing?
Pretty much the same thing. Communication is key. In order for it to work, they would have a lot of communication.
And you're going to be sound like Tiger Woods.
Oh, no.
You know, Joseph Vincent of Tiger Woods, and Tiger Woods was, he was, like, swole up. I don't know if y'all seen it. I think on the cover of Vanity Fair or something. Y'all saw those pictures of Tiger Woods with his shirt off?
I just saw the cover. I'm scared to see the rest.
Well, let me ask, was that a good look? Was that sexy? Yes.
Oh, no.
What? Tickle me. On his stomach.
Okay, did both of y'all say no, or one of y'all say yes?
I said yes.
And I said no.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the no first. Why did you think Mr. Tiger did not look sexy on the Vanity Fair cover?
Oh, he looked ill. I don't know. It just, that was a bad picture from the face
like
to the stomach.
He looked like an actual tiger to me. Now, Giselle, what did you find sexy about that?
It was nice to know that's what he was packing under those golf shirts. He's sexy. He had a little taco meat on his stomach, you know.
Oh.
That was hot.
Wow. I did not know that. Well, I thought Tiger, myself, he didn't look right to me. Now, but that was for the Vanity Fair. And I would like to say thank you guys for the last show. Again, that was great. Assuming that a lot of you people who talked in the after show had a lot of bad situations with your mates, had a lot of bad situations with their body smelling. So I'm going to have to ask y'all in 2010, y'all got to take care of that. And again, welcome to Your World, My Views. I'm your host, Mr. Thomas Sotomayor. I'm going to be joined today by the beautiful, the fabulous, the lovely, the exotic, the buff, and the just, ooh, so delicious, Your World, My View, January 1st, beauty of the day, Miss Nicole the Iron Babe Coleman. She is an IFBB Pro figure competitor, a USAPL raw power lifter, certified personal fitness trainer, fitness and figure print model, commercial talent, and now proud to say guest of the show, as well as announcing right here, my fiance, Miss Nicole. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am good. Well, sorry, I am well. Thank you for joining us tonight and the loyal following. And they loved your photos. What do you think about all the outpouring of love and the friends request that I'm sure you got from your photos on the first?
Well, I don't even know how many friends requests I got from that, but I know I had like an excess of 350 friends requests that accumulated over like the last couple months or so, and I've been trying to go through them and try to accept everybody and send everybody a message, but it's been really overwhelming for me. I've done really well in a short amount of time. I started some ways back, but the last 2 years have been just like nonstop for me. So I definitely appreciate all the love and support from everybody. And, I stay motivated by my fans, by the people that, that support me, you know.
All right, now I want to ask you, because I know it's a delicate balance, and it looks like you have actually reached that balance, the balance between keeping your femininity and your sexuality and still remaining buff. What do you do in order to keep that balance?
I mean, at the end of the day, I guess I'm just still a little girly girl like anybody else. I like to get dressed up. I like to do the hair and the makeup and the nails and stuff, and when I get in the gym, I do what I do there, you know. I've just been able to maintain, you know, the both of them. It's kind of funny you say that, though, because I have people that see me inside the gym, and they're just used to seeing me lifting a whole lot of weight and just going hard. And when they see me outside of the gym or I dress up or there's an event, they're like, wow. You know, and I have those people outside of the gym that are like, you do what? You're a power lifter. You're a bodybuilder. don't look like, you know. So it's real. It's real weird the reaction that I get from people on both sides.
Okay, now I want to ask, how tall are you?
I'm only 5'1".
What's up with all the midgets in the late in the weightlifting? Y'all midgety. What is that? Is it like a prerequisite to be a small?
No, it's not. I mean, a lot of the, usually the lightweight class that I've been competing so far since I've been competing, has not been very many, you know, lightweight female power lifters. There's a lot of middleweights and some heavyweights, but I don't think it's a prerequisite. You know, I don't know. Maybe shorter people just have the build for it. I mean, I have no idea.
Okay, because I'm friends with Miss Julia. Julia, I think she's listening, Miss Backhouse, and she is a paltry 4'11", 110 pounds, but
okay.
She is swole up.
And who's that again?
Julia Melinda Stewart Stackhouse. She got like 97 names and isn't Spanish. I've still been trying to figure out what her heritage is. I'm not really sure why, but everybody I see or I talk to them, they're all small. But it seems like maybe because you're small, maybe you can lift more. I'm not sure. But the fans
that shorter distance from the ground, that's for sure.
Because she always squatting and working on her legs. And I was like, well, you don't have to go anywhere. As soon as you go down, you right back up. And it's not fair for like a 6-foot dude or a 6-foot woman trying to do squats like that.
Well, that's true. That's true. I don't know. I think for me, I have like this little, I think I have this little people complex. What do they call it? The Napoleon complex?
Yeah.
Like, I always like to do big things. Like, I always, you know, I want to lift the most weight. I want to, you know,
mm-hmm.
I want to, you know, I've always wanted to do like big things or things that people thought that, you know, or would tell me that I couldn't do, you know, because I was small or little or, you know, what have you. So I think that's what kind of motivates me.
Well, I want to introduce the lady, Giselle and Renee, they're here as well, and we are joined by Ms. Nicole Coleman, the January 1st beauty of the day. And first off, I want to know, I hope it's not a problem that I spilled the beans and, you know, broke our engagement on the air tonight. Hopefully that's okay.
We'll see.
But, Giselle, didn't you have a question?
Yes, I do. It's kind of cheesy, okay? I wanted to.
There's no such thing as a cheesy question, first off. It's cheesy. Go ahead.
I hope I can answer it.
Okay. See, I thought about it. Okay. You have me dumbfounded.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you really have me dumbfounded. Okay. Here it goes. Can I pull out my handcuffs? Because what you're carrying must be illegal in at least 26 states.
Me?
I told you it was cheesy.
Can you do what?
Can I pull out my handcuffs? Don't try to steal my line later, okay?
Can you pull out your what?
He might want to fight you over that question.
Wait a minute. What did you say? I'm really upset. What did you say?
He's like the nerve of you.
I'm sorry. I said. You want me to say it again?
Say it again, please.
Can I pull out my handcuffs? Because what you're carrying must be illegal in at least 26 states.
Jehovah God.
We're both speechless.
I did not know it was this late. Somebody told me it was about 15 after 8, but apparently it's 4 in the morning, and Giselle is quite drunk. And this is...
Giselle, have you been drinking?
If I had been drinking, maybe I would have found that pretty funny. You know what? I'm going to get some Moscato. That's what I need. I'm short on the Moscato, so I'm going to let you ladies handle this. But I want to ask you, since you didn't hear the show, Nicole, the last show was about... sexual fantasy versus relationship reality. And the question was, can the two exist? Can you be with the person that you're in love with, want to be with for the rest of your life, and fulfill all of your sexual fantasies with that person. What do you think on that?
I think it's possible. I'm probably in no position to say whether I've not been in that position, and I'm not in that position, so I can't really say, but I think it's possible. You know, maybe that's why I'm still, well, until you announced our engagement this evening, single. Because I haven't found that, you know, that all-around person, you know, for me. And I work really hard, so.
It's hard, in my opinion, and the ladies agree that you can do it, but in my opinion, it's kind of hard because with guys, we're weird. Like, if you can do a whole bunch of nastiness with your girl, it's hard to make that your girl because you start to think that maybe she's thinking like you. Because we'll take it from pretty much anywhere we can get it from, so we don't want you with that mindset. So when we think that you got that mindset, it's kind of hard for us to continue on with that. But I want you to stick around and continue to help me co-host the show. And we're going to go into what today, Monday, we had Mondays with Renee, and today we're going to have Giselle do her sexophane. So, Giselle, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
You need your things on?
Yes.
All right, here you go. Sexophane, we'll have a good time. Shout at you. All right, Giselle, you got it. What are you going to tell us about today that's going to make me throw up?
This is not going to make you throw up. Nothing that out of the way. Actually, today is sort of a serious topic. I received an email in my Facebook account, and someone asked me the question. They said that they were having trouble keeping an erection with a condom on. So I wanted to discuss how to mix pleasure with safe sex.
Oh, well, I can help him with that. Sir, if you're having a problem with keeping an erection with a condom on, just take it off. Go ahead, Giselle.
That's nice.
That wasn't what she had in mind.
That wasn't it? Oh, my bad. Go ahead. I was finished.
Okay, well, although condoms typically don't contribute to problems getting or keeping an erection, sometimes men find that they do. In some cases, it can be helpful to strategize ways to have safer, more pleasurable sex. And the first thing you should try is a different size and fit of a condom. You might want to try sampling a variety of condoms to find ones that feel more pleasurable for you and allow you to experience maximum sensation. Some men find that condoms with looser or baggier heads or shafts allow for more sensation, and it's easier for them to maintain their erection. Other times, the size of the condom is an issue, and if standard size condoms don't fit you well, consider using a snugger fit condom or a larger size condom depending on your size or needs. Also, adding a small dab of lubricant on the inside of the condom in the reservoir tip can also help sex feel more comfortable and pleasurable. And then after the condom is rolled down over the penis, you might also want to apply additional lube to the outside of the condom along your shaft. A warming sensation lubricant may help to increase the pleasure sensations, and that also helps with the erection. You should also choose your sexual experience, because if you're not really feeling the person that you're with, that might also contribute to your lack of erection. Sexual arousal has physical, emotional, and mental components, and you may find that it's particularly important for you to attend to getting yourself extremely interested or aroused by your partner or the sexual circumstances before deciding to have sex with them. Now, if after you try those things, you still have a problem, I think maybe you should go to your physician, and if it's not just with the condom anyway. If it seems like it's ED, which is erectile dysfunction, you might want to visit your doctor and, you know, talk to him and get into things further. Now, I also have a suggestion for a condom. It's called Lifestyles X2, and this is one of the best ones for pleasure for him and her because it's lubricated already on the inside and the out. It's perfect. And it
just sounds like it'll fall off real easy. If you got all that slickness on it, look, you put it in. That thing gonna be gone. That's probably why I feel so good, because it ain't on.
Well, they have these newer condoms too called Bear. One's called Bear, and the other one is called Skin with a Y instead of an I.
I know why it's called Bear, because they dare your ass to wear it and keep it on afterwards. That thing is gonna be gone.
Not Dare, Bear with a B.
Oh, probably that too. Because if you put it on, you end up bare.
No, this does not have the lubricant on it. But they're made extra thin, and they're made instead of latex for the women who have an allergic reaction to latex. It's made of polyurethane instead of the other one that they had out before. That was still very irritating and dried out very quickly. So those
dry out very quickly.
Yeah, they were made out of polyurethane. This is made out of another type of poly. It's polyurethane, if that makes it any difference. But it's a different type of substance, actually. And this one doesn't dry out as much if you use lubricant with it or during sex, because a lot of condoms do that. They dry out, and it becomes irritating. So those are two suggestions. And as far as lube, there's always the warming and the heating sensation lubes, which I always suggest. I always talk about lubricant. So you can, the best one that I find as far as lubricant is called Wet. It's
better than KY.
Yes.
And Astroglide.
Yes, to me. Wet is the best.
Well, for both men, wet is the best, too, so we'll agree.
So that's about it, you know, as well as with the other lubes, too. There's also lubes for anal, different lubes for anal sex, and that's where, of course, the Astroglide comes in. Astroglide is like a huge thing for anal sex. It's one of the best. And
you had to bring up something that I've been trying to avoid. Now you had to bring up that. That gun. What's up with you and this anal sex? Oh. I'm on the show. Anyway. I have someone that wants to say something. So hold on a second. Julia, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, Julia, this is Nicole. Nicole, this is Julia. Julia wanted to speak to you. This is the person, the person I was telling you about. And she said she had a question for you. So, Julia, what is the question that you have for Nicole?
Hi, Julia.
Hey, Nicole. Hello, fellow fitness competitor. Well, I mean, are you figure or fitness?
I compete in figure, uh-huh.
Okay. Did you already go pro? Are you getting ready to go pro?
I turned pro at Team Universe in September.
Oh, my gosh. I was there, too.
Awesome. What
and
class?
You know, girl, I wasn't figure. I was one of the fitness girls on stage. I was the one just out of breath, out of energy, about to fall down, barely finishing my routine. I ended up in the top five. I was the only black girl in the top five. And there was I placed fifth, actually. I placed fifth. And I don't know if you saw my routine or if you saw any of us tumbling on stage or doing our thing, but we were both there. And that's amazing.
That is. You know, I saw a couple of the routines, but I'm not sure. I was so, you know how it is. By the time you get on stage, you're so drained and exhausted. All you want to do is get up there, do your thing.
Thank you. That's why I was barely making it. I was cramping up. I was trying to smile and just make it through. And I was just happy to just get it over with and eat.
I commend you. I don't know how you guys do it, because I know you work as hard as I do. You diet like I do, and then you have to get up there and do those two-minute routines and all those strength moves and more power to you.
Yeah, but congratulations. I cannot believe that I've met somebody at Team U. And believe me, I'm right behind you. This is my year. I want that IFBB Pro ring. Did you get your ring yet?
No, I got my card, but I haven't gotten a ring.
Girl, I can't wait. It's going to be so pretty.
Oh.
You're going to be flashing that ring.
So what are you doing next?
Well, I'm waiting to see. I don't know if I'm going to do. I know I'm trying to go pro before Team U, because I think Team U is later on in the year this year.
It's actually earlier. It's July the 9th.
Oh, it's July?
Doing the pro figure. Mm-hmm.
Girl, I got to look at my schedule. Put it this way. I'm going pro this year. I don't know when, but I'm going pro. And I'm going to be right behind you with my IFBB ring on. I cannot wait.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, but congratulations.
Placing top five, that's pretty good. Just let me keep me posted. Check me out on Facebook or whatever, and, we'll stay in touch and keep me posted about the shows you're doing.
Yeah, I'm going to see you at the shows. I'm lined up. How many shows are you doing this year? Because I'm doing like six.
I'm debating. I plan on doing some stuff earlier this year. Unfortunately, didn't get an invite to the Arnold. I was kind of expecting that, but
okay.
I didn't, next year maybe. But I have two power. I'm also a power lifter, and I have two meets coming up in the next 4 weeks. I have one that's the Louisiana State meet here, the USAPL meet, and I'm also competing in one of the largest powerlifting meets in the country with all raw lifters.
Wow.
The Invitational in Tampa, Florida, called Raw Unity, and I'm doing that January 30th. So I'm trying to see how I want to see how I feel after that, because I've been training really hard, lifting really, really heavy. And
Nicole, you're a bad girl. I've only tried powerlifting one time, and to be quite honest with you, that was a lot on me. I mean, I would my back would go out of place, and I remember my coach always popping my back into place, and I really couldn't hang with it. But I commend you for doing that powerlifting. That's a whole different ball game. People don't understand. It's a whole different technique. You got to be. It's a technique to it.
Oh yeah, it's not easy. And
no.
I mean, believe it or not, I came back from Team U. That was September 19th. On October the 17th, I believe. I won the overall best female lifter in a local meet that year.
Excellent.
So I had to come right back from Team U, all like little and petite, put on a little more weight, and go in and lift well. And I did a pretty good job. So
you did excellent.
I got an invitation to the Raw Unity meet in Tampa, so I'm looking forward to that. That'll be covered by Fox Sports South. They're going to do an interview with me and everything. So once I get all of that out of the way, then I'm going to go ahead and decide what will be my first pro figure show, my debut. But I'm definitely going to do the Team Universe.
Oh my God. You had a wonderful year.
I did. It was overwhelming.
Okay, all right, ladies. Well, you got the question out of the way, Miss Julie. You got the battle of the midgets. You guys got a chance to talk to each other and talk about things that most of our bellies and kneecaps only get to see. Now, I want you to be a part of this here segment, Nicole, and we call this is probably one of the most fun parts of the show, in my opinion. And this part of the segment of the show is called In the News with your host, Thomas Supermeyer. You hear a loud crowd in the background. What we do right here is we talk about what is going on in the news in your world. And right now what's going on in the news is Gilbert Arenas was suspended indefinitely. Ms. Nicole, do you know who Gilbert Arenas is?
I actually do not know. I do not keep up with the news as much as I should, and I used to work in television.
Wow. Then you are going to enjoy this segment, because Gilbert Arenas is a pro basketball player for the Washington, formerly Bullets, and now the Washington Wizards. And here's the story. NBA Commissioner David Stern indefinitely suspended Washington Wizards guard Gilbert Arenas without pay on Wednesday. The three-time All-Star has admitted to bringing guns into the Verizon Center locker room and is under investigation by local and federal authorities. This, again, goes under our Blacks behaving buffoonishly. Here's the story, Nicole. Gilbert Arenas and his fellow basketball player or teammate, Javaris Crittenden, were having a bet. Somehow one of them lost. The other one pulled out a gun on the other one to make him pay up the bet. What do you think about that?
Wow. That's a bit much.
Yeah. Millionaires.
Actually, I did hear that story, and I was just, my mouth was open, like, are you serious?
Yes. Now, David Stern said his behavior will ultimately result in a substantial suspension and perhaps worse. And he's the Wizards' leading scorer, and he's not currently fit to take the court in the NBA game, said David Stern. Now, this is just amazing that these two guys would be doing this. And Arena said, I feel very badly that my actions have caused the NBA to suspend me, but I understand why the league took this action. I put the NBA in a negative light and let down my teammates and our fans. I'm very sorry for doing that. While I never intended any harm or to disrespect the NBA or anyone else, my gun possession at the Verizon Center and my attempts at humor showed terrible judgment. Let me ask you, you and your friends might joke around a lot, maybe when y'all lifting weights or whatnot. Did anyone of y'all pull out a gun on the other one just to get your jollies off?
No. And I don't think there's anything funny about that.
And they say he didn't pull out one gun, like I said in the last show. He was like Jim Carrey in The Mask. He pulled out, like, a bunch at once. I don't know how he did it or how the other guy was able to sit there and watch him pull out a bunch of guns, but that's how it happened. And I guess that is pretty much why he is in the news. With your host, Thomas Kosamak. All right, what else is going on in the news? What else is going on in the news? Let me see. Oh, maybe you guys heard about this one. There's a dating website, and that dating website has kicked off the fatties from their site. This might be something that you and Julie will probably appreciate because it's the story. In the online dating world, you have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find a prince. However, if you are a user of beautifulpeople.com, you know there's going to be a lot of handsome frogs. Now, after all, that's the dating website where users vote on who gets to be included as one of their beautiful sorts. However, once you're in, you better take care of yourself because there is a strict no-fat chick slash dude clause. Over 5,000 members of the site were thrown off for gaining weight during the holidays. Manager Director Greg Hodge says the initiative to weed out the chubbies was a direct result of the member complaints. We responded to complaints by moving the newly chubby members back to the rating stage. This is the same as having them reapply, and their applications were reviewed by the existing members, and only a few hundred were voted back in. Over 5,000 were rejected. That's a significant loss to the company's bottom line, pardon the pun, but the founder, Robert Hinsky, says it's all worth it to preserve the company's image as a place where beautiful people can meet and group. What do you think about that?
Now, was this explain to the members before they joined?
That they would be kicked off? Well, no.
Well,
there was the
rule or what have you, or guidelines to their being members of the site.
Yes. Beautifulpeople.com actually let the people vote them on. And if, like, here's what, if you go down deep into it, what they were saying was a lot of the people were meeting other people face-to-face. And when they were meeting them face to face, those pictures that they were given to get on site didn't look like them. So they were kicking them off slowly. If enough people complained that you don't look like that, or they would ask you, I guess, for an updated pic. And if that picture didn't look the same, they would kick you off. I kind of like that site because internet dating is kind of harsh. And I'm nothing against fat people, but it just needs to be a fat site. Because fat people don't even like to call themselves fat anyway. No, they don't. Fat people don't call themselves fat. And here's what I want to know about internet dating. Maybe one of you guys can answer this question for me.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that fat people are only beautiful? Only fat people are beautiful, right?
Only?
No.
Yeah, only fat people are beautiful, right?
No.
Well, then why are fat people the only one with a beautiful category? Fat people, you call them big and beautiful. They don't call them slim and beautiful, average and beautiful. Fat people are the only ones that have their own little slash when they get to pick what they are, big and beautiful. I done seen some big and ugly folks. I don't understand. I'm a little upset about the fact that they the only ones that get to be called beautiful.
Right. Everybody that's big ain't beautiful.
Thank you. This doesn't make any sense. And I know what would happen. First off, if I went and met with somebody who they said they was all fine and something, and I got there and they were fat, I'd probably be like Chris Brown and end up in the news. Over the high bar.
Stay off of the site.
You know what I'm saying? Give me my money back plus pain and suffering. I would sue them. Giselle, do you have excuse for me to say?
Yes, I do.
What do you have? What do you have?
Gary Coleman was hospitalized in Los Angeles. The Different Strokes actor Gary Coleman is hospitalized after suffering an apparent seizure. Coleman's agent, Robert Malcolm, told KTLA the 41-year-old actor was taken by ambulance to a hospital shortly after 8 a.m. Wednesday after he began feeling fuzzy, quote-unquote, and vomited while resting at a hotel. Malcolm says Coleman appeared to be fine minutes later, and a CAT scan at the hospital showed no problems. He says Coleman, who has had two failed kidney transplants, will receive dialysis and remain hospitalized overnight. Now,
failed?
Yeah, failed.
Dang.
He suffers from nephritis, which is a congenital kidney disease, and he's had two kidney transplants. The first one in 1973 and the second one in 1984.
How fair is that, if I can ask? Because there's a lot of people that are looking to just get one kidney transplant. This dude had two bites of the apple.
Mm-hmm. And they both failed, so. Yeah.
What, they baboon kidney? I'm just saying. What are you just getting kidneys from like that? I mean, get them off the black market?
He had money in 73. I don't know about in 84. He was making
money. And he's still a little, right? He like Nicole's side.
Actually, you know, he's going to be in a new movie called Midgets versus Mascots. That's why he's in my
favorite. Don't tell me that. You're trying to make fun of this guy. This is not funny.
I'm serious. I could make that one up like you would say. That is, I'm serious.
Well, you still think I made up that Tiger Woods and that delivering that meat package to the Bunny Ranch? I didn't make that up. He delivered the Christmas meat and fed everybody. It was a Christmas miracle. He kept everybody's mouth full.
Mm-hmm.
That Tiger Woods, boy. I guess that's what you gotta do. In the news. Oh man. I want to read. I want to read this one piece of news because it was interesting to me. There was a drive-through bandit who hit his fifth bank here in Atlanta. An area bank robber has taken his show on the road. Police are looking for a man who attempted to rob a bank drive-through window in Northwest Atlanta Wednesday afternoon. Around 1:30 p.m., police said that a white man between the ages of 45 and 50 drove up to the Wachovia Bank at 3330 Northside Parkway. Authorities said the man sent a device through the pneumatic tube to the cashier, claiming it was an explosive and demanding money. The cashier did not comply, and the drive-thru bandit drove away in a silver or a gold Hyundai Sonata. First off, can you not tell the damn difference between silver and gold? Second off, who the hell is robbing the bank through the drive-thru? Really? I was just looking at him when he sent the thing up there. I was like, dude, really? Do you know if I give you this damn
money? I used to work
that
driver. That is hilarious.
Wow.
Is that you, Nicole?
I used to work in the drive-up. That is so funny.
Okay, now let me ask you seriously. You know if you give somebody some money through the drive-up, they going to arrest your ass, too, because they think you had something to do with it. Because you don't have to give him nothing. He's
no,
outside.
No. I was always ready to duck underneath the counter in the event anybody tried.
And what's hilarious is this. Okay, if your ass send me a bomb through that tube, I would just send it back. Me and him would be some sending asses the whole day.
And just hope that it goes off on his end.
Yes. I was like, look, mister, I've been looking for a job for the last 9 months. I am not giving you no money. Didn't me. You have to blow the whole thing up. Nah, I don't know. That's a white dude, though, that he going to rob you through the pneumatic tube. That's a screwed up way, to be honest, to find you. In the news! Woo! What else going on? Gigi, what else going on?
A tourist body was found in a burning dumpster. The body of a missing woman was found in North Miami. The body was discovered burned beyond recognition in a North Miami trash bin on Sunday. North Miami police said the woman was identified through dental records as 26-year-old Paula Sladuski. Lieutenant Neil Cuevas of North Miami police said that Sladuski, an aspiring model from Michigan, had come to South Beach with her boyfriend on New Year's Eve. Her and her boyfriend went to the club, to Club Space in downtown Miami on Saturday night, and the police said that her 35-year-old boyfriend, whose identity has not been released, told investigators he left her at the club at 7 a.m. after they had some sort of discussion, possibly
an argument.
Right. Possibly.
They always see their girlfriend or their wife somewhere that got her killed. That's amazing to me. That'd be the best story they can come up. And fellas, if you're going to kill your girl, come up with a better story than I left her at 7 a.m. You went with this person. Where would you honestly go and they end up killed? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. It's ugh.
You're right. They're visiting from Michigan, too. He said they possibly had an argument. They're not sure. At about 9 p.m. Sunday, someone reported a fire burning in a dumpster behind a propane tank business. When the Miami-Dade firefighters put out the flames, they discovered the body, which was later identified as Sladuski.
Was it a swingers club?
No. Club Space, no. It's a regular club.
Has it ever been packed?
Packed full of people?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I must have been drinking one of your jokes, because you know how I was going with that.
I
ain't got no space up in Club Space. Need to be club packed. I'm sorry, fellas, quit dumping your girlfriend in the trash can. Like, didn't that dude do that like this summer? Didn't he dismember his girlfriend? And he said the same thing. He had an argument, so I left the country. I mean, y'all got to do better than this. Scott Peterson, what happened? I just left. You left your 8-month pregnant wife and went fishing? Yeah, dog, that's what I do. That's the type of dude I am. I like fishing. I mean, I really don't know what's going on with this killing of these women and just, they got to be a better way of disposing of them the way that these stuff is doing. I mean, I'm not advocating killing, but I'm not advocating killing, but I'm advocating some kind of, let's be smart about it. It must, I don't know. I'm thinking it had to be a swing of smart, because We was at the party this past weekend. Some of them guys looked like they wanted to kill that girl because that girl was looking at what was going on. They was upset about it. I'm just glad that none of them decided this week to end up in the news. But I'm going to read a couple more, and then we're going to go into the show. Here's one. It's a Tequila man who discreetly taped his stepdaughter, police say. Discreetly or secretly? Either way, he did it wrong. But when I read the story, here's what I was thinking. I was like, this old pervert was taping this little young girl, right? That's what it sounds like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, a 61-year-old Tequila man bought a clock radio with a hidden camera to secretly videotape his 31-year-old stepdaughter in his house.
Okay,
I don't really feel bad for you, stepdaughter, because you're 31 still living in your stepdaddy's house. I mean, I'm just saying. I know if I moved in with my parents, they could take all kinds of stuff in the house. I couldn't say nothing. First of all, they won't let you close the door. I ain't shutting no doors up in this house. Open that door up. You want to shut a door, get your own damn place. So, see, that's going to let you know we can play the, we're going to play the game. We'll play the game. I'll let all three of you guys play the game. Chris Belcour, who is the guy who did this, put the clock radio, put the tape in there, whatever, to film his 31-year-old stepdaughter, not even his real daughter, stepdaughter, living in his house. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to play the game. Name that race. Gigi, I'm going to start with you. Chris Belcour and his 31-year-old stepdaughter, what race do you think they are? You can split them. You can say they're the same, whichever you'd like to go with.
I'm going to go with Caucasian.
All right, Nicole, you can play along. This is the game where we find out the activities of what one does or either the name of what one does and see if we can guess their race. Chris Belcour, the 61-year-old man who was arrested for secretly videotaping his 31-year-old stepdaughter, what race do you think he is and she is?
Ooh, say that race. What's the name again?
The guy's name is Chris Belcour, B-E-L-C-O-R. The lady's name, they're keeping it secret.
Oh, I'm going to guess Caucasian.
All righty then. Now we're going to go to you, Miss Renan. Renee? Renee, what race is Mr. Belcour?
I think it's a unanimous vote for Caucasian white.
Well, you guys are correct, because first off, I don't know how many black folks trying to let they step anything live up in their house. Cause this nigga got to get a job. He's 31 years old. He is not coming up in here, and I'm just, no. You can, and they'll be up there arguing, not like they arguing secretly, but loud enough so your ass can hear it. No, he is not staying in here. And then they walk in the living room and look at you like you didn't hear that damn argument. Came up with a decision that you're too damn old and too stupid to stay in the house, so you got to leave. And I'm trying to keep my husband, so you got to leave. I'm just saying, you too old to be living, and then I got the man put in jail in his own damn house. If he videotaping, you leave. That's white people. Black folks would have just left cussing your ass out. Your nasty ass looking at me.
I broke that camera. Give me that camera.
You know what I'm saying? Be pissed on the camera. You want to see something? Look at this, that nasty ass. It is. Damn, white folks get to be in your house and have you arrested. It must be real good to be white. And the last in the news segment, and this is kind of sad, a man drove around for 2 days with his wife's body in the back of the pickup. Maureen Alabine was a set director for the Monique Show. Have any of you guys ever watched it? Because I haven't.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, she was a set director for Monique Show. A woman who was so pro-fat and loved being fat, but then happy that she's losing weight. So she's just throwing mixed signals, number one. And she was a local food stylist. That's when you know you too fat and you take your food consumption too seriously when you have to hire a food stylist.
Oh, my goodness.
Maureen Albin, the spunky set director for the Monique show and a local food stylist, was killed Sunday by her husband, who drove for 2 days with the body in the bed of his pickup truck before turning himself in, authorities said Wednesday. After killing his wife, Dennis Albin drove from the couple's home in Tucker to Virginia and told his relatives there on Monday about the murder. Damn, at least he turned himself in, but
wow.
Really? Police recovered the 43-year-old Maureen Albin's body, which had been wrapped up from her husband's blue Ford. Well, I can tell you a couple things. One, the body was very fresh because it's been 0-some-odd degrees here in Georgia and up there. So she looked the way she looked when he put her down. She looked that way. Now, again, here go these dudes. What kind of arguments y'all having with these women when y'all just offing them like that and then putting them in the car? Man, they got the super speed of law. They pull you over, they look, they go find that body back there. I'm just saying. Ugh, stop it, fellas. Stop all these killing.
Let it go.
Yeah. Let me get another girlfriend. I know it seems hard. It do seem hard when she first leaves you and tell you, man, you got to go another 6 months trying to get somebody. It's horrible. I know it is. Fellas, let it go. Again, this is Your World, My Views. This was the news segment. If you want to catch any of the past shows, you can go to www.yourworldmyviews.com. Or if you have any suggestions about my infamous name changes, and today I'm Mr. Thomas Tar Baby Sotomayor. And yes, I got the name because of the character and because we're talking about today light skin versus dark skin, and we're wondering, is it still an issue in the United States? Is it still an issue amongst our people? Is it still an issue that needs to be changed? Or do people have the right to want what they want and say whatever they want? This is Your World, My Views. If you want to call in and give your commentary about this topic, call in at 347-989-8310. Now, we're about to pay a few bills. And then we're going to come right back and just jump right back into the topic of the show. And today we're being joined by the January 1st Your World, My View Beauty of the Day, Miss Nicole Coleman. And she has been gracious enough to be right here with us and enjoy the fun that we're having. And we will be back in a little while. This is Your World, My View.
Happy New Year! Welcome to Progressive.com.
This place is hopping.
Resolution season.
Well, my resolution, save money.
Last year, millions of people visited Progressive.com, and those who switched saved an average of over $350.
No wonder it's like a party in here.
Yeah. I wrote that. Starting the new year with savings. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today.
Subway, home of the famous $5 footlong, like our fresh toasted black forest ham with cheese and our newest $5 footlong, the fresh delicious chicken pizziola. $5 footlongs, all day, every day.
At Subway.
Number one, Alabama. The most bowl appearances, 57. 26. Conference championship, 97. All American, 6. All Americans in 2009, an NCAA record. Number two, Texas. Second most bowl appearances. 49, 27, conference championships, 98, all Americans, 7-0 versus Alabama, number one, Alabama, 12-time national champions, number two, Texas, 4-time national champions, collide. The rivalry, the pageantry, the prestige. Mark Ingram, Colt McCoy, Nick Saban, Mack Brown. The Southeastern Conference, the Big 12 Conference, the City BCS National Championship Game. Two-story programs, but only one can win.
Thursday, January 7, 2010, Pasadena, California, the City BCS National Championship Game, live on ABC. Pre-game coverage starts at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Firstborn Productions.
Shorty start winding up just like a motor.
Her body said hi and my pants said hello.
Thighs start shaking like jello.
Once the goose kicks in, then I know I got her.
Drop it like a bumbo, pick it up, stop. Touchdown on her body, now I want more.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Your World, My View, and I love that song. That is Mr. Radio 3000. We are back, and we are going to be talking about light skin versus dark skin. It is still an issue, and we have our very special guest, Miss Nicole, the Iron Vein. As it said, you know, it took me like 3 months to realize that's what your last name was, the Iron Vein. I just thought you had this weird name.
Yeah, I didn't have it under my name. I'm kind of known locally as the Iron Babe, so I incorporated that into my little Facebook name, and most of the people that knew me knew how to find me.
I was like, she's French. Her name is Serendie.
some people are like, they're on, baby. I'm like, no, it's the Iron Babe.
I was like, oh, I do not like being proven not very smart like that. Now, anyway, what do you think about the idea of the show? Is it's about skin color, and does it exist here in the United States? Is it a bad thing? Is it something that's prevalent? Is it something that's holding black back? What do you think about, and have you been a victim of it either way? What do you think about the light skin, dark skin issue in the black community?
I don't think I've had, I guess I have had a couple maybe instances. I've always been labeled, like just growing up as, you know, that girl who thought she was too much, or I was prissy or whatever. I have no idea, but I'm like total opposite. And it just had to be off of, you know, the fact that I was fair skinned. Believe it or not, within my own family, I'm like one of the darkest of all my siblings, believe it or not. Like all of my sister, my brothers, my mom, they're all very, very fair with freckles, light eyes. So it's kind of weird because in my own family, I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of the dark skin. But when I go out into, you know, school and work, then, you know, then I'm kind of like that fair skin or that light skin girl. But, you know, so I kind of get it, you know, from both ends, I guess.
That sounds like you, Giselle, getting it from both of
you. Know, I always felt not that in that way. I caught on to that. But like within my own family, I felt, you know, I always felt a little different. You know, mm-hmm. I had like a, you know, the more quote unquote ethnic hair, you know, kind of the more tanned or darker. I kind of, you know, took my father's skin color and the texture of, and more texture of his hair, where my other family members has, you know, the very thin, wavy, you know, you don't have to relax it, you don't have to do anything to it, honestly. Either you put water in it or you dry it straight, you know. So I was always kind of quote unquote different in my own family, you know. But, you know, outside, you know, in school, I used to get a little beef every now and then for people for being, you know, the light skin chick who thought she was too much, or, you know, real prissy, and, you know, I'm totally the opposite.
That is very interesting that you were able to say that you actually did get it from both sides. Because, again, I can see that you're in a position where they're looking at you and they're downing you because you're darker than them. And then when you walk out in public, because, I mean, if you walk in a If you walking around me and a lot of my family members, you be the fair skin, and we call you light bright when you come up. We want to, the other chicken, we want to fight you. You have to prove yourself every day.
Yeah, believe it or not, in school, there were times where I would, you know, I've always, you know, whenever I had to fight in school, I was always defending myself. And either it was like somebody was bullying me or with some girls that would just, you just didn't like me for no reason at all. So the only thing I could think of is, okay, she's, you know, she's fair skinned or she's bright skinned. She's got this, you know, hair thing going on and she thinks she's this and she thinks she's that. We're going to show her. You know, and like I see within my own family, I just felt kind of different. I'm like, why am I here not like this? You know?
Yeah, you walk around thinking the milkman showed up when it was your turn to get born.
I know why I'm so dumb, but believe it or not, I look just like my mom. But you know, and it's weird when I go out to like a lot of contests and stuff. I've had people actually ask me, "What are you?" Like, what do you mean?
Really?
Yeah.
Is it offensive when they say that?
Nah, I mean, you know, I don't take offense to it. You know, I think I just say, okay, maybe I just look unique, and they just can't figure it out, and I'm okay with that.
Okay, well, we're going to pick up a phone call right now, just hear from some of the callers right now. We have a phone caller, 228-382. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm a white guy who dates black chicks. And
oh, man, I used to be one of them. What's going on?
It might be the other way around for you. It's definitely an issue.
Let me ask you, the girl that you're currently dating, is she fair-skinned? Is she brown or is she dark-skinned?
She's dark, but I prefer light-skinned.
Oh, right. Okay. Let's just hope she's not on the line. let me ask, when you see it, what ways have you seen as far as the race issue or the color issue from your vantage point? How have you seen it manifest itself?
All right. Well, for the men, if you're a light-skinned black man, other black people will consider you gay, weak, corny, whatever. That happens a lot.
Right.
And that goes unaddressed, and I think it's unfair. As far as the black women, it's in reverse. The light-skinned ones are always more beautiful. They're more girly. They're not as dominating or emasculating. They're the free-flowing good hair, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a definite disproportionate thing, and it's like black people are really good at attacking each other and no one winning. And they do it a lot with the color issue amongst themselves.
You are 100% correct on that one. That is odd that I had always said that as far as how we're viewed. I had a friend, and he is a Pakistani. He spoke as well about the darker ones and the lighter ones in Pakistan, and that they had actually the same issue there. Let me ask you, coming from the other race, why do you think it manifests itself, one, in a lot of minority communities where being lighter is better? Where do you think that came from?
Well, obviously, the Eurocentric standard of beauty is the most important factor. It's definitely more prevalent, I would say, with any other race than the blacks because of the colored variance.
Yes.
You got some light-skinned black guys who could pass for Pakistani. But I think that's the reason why, and that they're all chasing each other and kind of isolating each other off based on skin color. And I think it may go back to the slavery times, which I don't know a lot about, but I know there was a lot of divisiveness then.
Now, let me ask you, when you dated outside the race, what took you to what was it that you liked about black women? I'm just trying to find out like where your mindset
For me, it's all physical. Personality-wise, you know, as a guy, that's important, but we're looks orientated.
Yeah.
So for me, I always found black girls, the ones who aren't fat, because a lot of them are 80% of women. Black women by the CDC are fat, or overweight or obese or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You see that in, you know, I live in Atlanta, and you see that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for them, 170 pounds passes as in shape, which it's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
So, and you got a lot of 200 pounders out there, but basically, physically is what attracts me to black women, because when they're in shape, they, you know, are definitely superior to me as far as other women, with the exception of Hispanic women or Brazilian, whatever.
Go on, say it. You're an ass man. That's what you're trying to tell the audience. You're an ass man. You're trying to play around with it. You're trying not to say it. You like ass. That's what you're saying, ain't it?
It pretty much is, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, man. I
well, I don't question. Qualify.
Wait, wait a minute. Nicole, you don't have an ass?
Mm-mm-mm.
What'd you say?
You don't have an ass. You said you don't qualify. You don't have an ass?
Well, now I have more than I ever had, thanks to the heavyweight lifting. But,
huh.
You know, but coming up, genetically, no, I was not blessed in that area.
Oh, because I really wasn't trying to call off the wedding this early. So let me ask you, bro, in your relationship, does it come out? Do you hear it from the person you're dating? Do you ever hear it? Is it something that you're like, she says it sometimes where she feels insecure about lighter-skinned women or whatnot? Does it come out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. She's definitely more insecure about white women. But when it comes to their own race, they know that the lighter-skinned girls are more beautiful. They have the best of both worlds, so to speak, like Halle Berry.
Yep.
And but the biggest thing with relationships is I noticed that the black women are more emasculating across the board.
Yep.
They're more dominating. They want to be the man in the relationship. They didn't develop any affectionate skills as far as being lovey-dovey or whatever. And I think that comes from them not being around their fathers, growing up in single-parent homes where the mother is very ostracizing and acting very emasculating and everything. And I don't think they know how to act around men. I really don't.
You really sound like a brother of mine from another mother. I have used a little psychology and tried to explain that to a lot of people, and they will get mad at me as if I'm saying something wrong, but it is very hard to know how to deal as a woman towards a man if you've never seen a woman deal towards a man. If you've always seen your mother handle her business a certain way, you will grow up thinking that's the norm. Like, and maybe you can verify this. I always tell people, because I went to an all-white high school and pretty much a 75% white college, and what happened was this. A lot of the white girls, when they graduated, by the time they got 27, when they weren't married, when they weren't in stable relationships, they were upset. But I'm in my 30s now, and the black women in their 30s, pretty comfortable not being with anybody, pretty comfortable with raising the kids on their own. I even saw a commercial today where the woman was talking about going back to college, and she said, ladies, you know, they expect you to pay the bills. They expect us to get out there. You know, I did it too. I had a child young. And I was like, wow, why does the black woman have to sound angry like that and talk about having to raise a child and pay the bills by herself? I don't really understand.
I've seen the same thing. I think if you were to date two black girls, one that comes from a good, you know, two-parent home, and one that comes from a single, you know, mother home, you were going to see two different people.
Yep.
I'm sure there's exceptions to the rule, but black women, even amongst their own people, there's not a lot of diplomacy. It seems like nobody's really good at just keeping the peace. Like, I expect this show, before it's over, there to be a fight, and it won't be between a white person and a black person.
Right.
I just expect
you're right. I've had a few of them. I had on my Facebook page, I had a woman, and I just put up a little segment on my show called You May Be Lame If. She cussed me out because I put up what I put on my own page. And I was like, why would you attack me like that when I've never had anyone else attack me like that? I've had white people on my page, the white women disagree with something. They'll send me something to my my inbox and ask me why do I think that way. They've never stuck something on the wall of my page cussing me out because of my own thought on my own page. That is weird. But, hey, brother, thank you for giving me a call. And you take care of that black woman you got, because I, being a fellow dark-skinned person, I can understand how she grew up. And it's very difficult on us in the United States having people – having basically hear from everybody. You not only get put down by the other race, but you get put down by your own race. So you take care of that woman, and you take it easy on him, and work through that if you can.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right.
Wow, that was deep. What I want to hear what you thought about that, Renee. What did you thought about that call?
Well, I agreed with some of the things that he said. Some of them, unfortunately, I found a bit stereotypical. I'm not taken surprise. I'm not taken by surprise by what he said. I mean, looking from the outside, of course, it's very apparent, the division, the animosity that our culture has. I think that for me, I'm not light skinned. I wouldn't be classified as light skinned, and I'm not classified as dark skinned. So I don't have some of the experiences that perhaps other people had. But knowing myself and knowing how I am, I'm not offended by some of what he said. To say that light-skinned women are beautiful and blah, 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 blah.
No, he wasn't saying it. He wasn't saying that's what it is. He was saying that's the thought process. He said the thought process, and it is true. If you find two women, and they could be shaped exactly the same, they can even look exactly the same. Let one of them be light and one of them be dark. They're literally going to push themselves toward the lighter skin. Them light-skinned girls don't even have to be in shape. They still like them. I've seen some brothers with fat white women. And you're like, what? But because he got the closest thing to white or white, he was all right with it. And I remember there was a time when I used to only date white women. The reason I only dated white women was this. I grew up being dark-skinned in a family that wasn't as dark. So every time I did something wrong, I would hear, sit your black ass down. I remember when I first dated the first black girl I'd ever dated was in college. And she came home to visit my mom. And she was sitting on the couch with me, and I remember this to the day I die. She was rubbing my head, and she thought I was just the most handsome thing in the world. And she said to my mom, your son is so handsome. And my mom said, but he looks nice for a dark-skinned dude. Mm-hmm. And my mom thought it was actually a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up under that, thinking, wow, if I could just have me a mixed child, they would never have to go through what I went through. Mm-hmm. And it is very difficult to walk around, and that's what he was trying to say, that when you're light-skinned, you do have the best of both worlds. White boys look at you and say, oh, she's pretty, she's cute, she's blah, blah, blah. Even, have you ever noticed, if a dark-skinned girl has long hair, we immediately assume it's a weave. If a light-skinned girl has it, we immediately assume it's hers.
Right. Well, don't get me talking about weave, but
true. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, because I know you have a weave. I'm very sorry. You got a damn weave. Shut up.
I'm not pro weave. I don't have a weave, but I think that.
Okay, I'm going to answer a phone call. I'm sorry, I got to answer a phone call. A lot of the lines are lit up, so I'm talking over them. Let me answer a couple of them, then I'll let you go back to that. Call us 314-556. You're on the air. Call us 314. Yes, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, I hear you. My husband wanted to make a comment about light skin and dark skin. His ex-wife was dark skin. And he said that he noticed that when they would go to different places, a lot of the light-skinned women, because he's a dark-skinned, attractive woman, a lot of the light-skinned women would be jealous of her. And when she would go to different places and see more so light-skinned women, that she would be jealous of them as well.
Oh. So what was his thought process behind why that exists or what that was?
What's your thought process behind why do you think it is?
I think it goes back to back in the slave days. I don't know if y'all spoke about that yet, because we just got online with you. But I think it goes back to when dark-skinned people was in the barns, the light-skinned people was in the house with the master. And so I think it goes back from then, you know, because when me and my ex-wife, we would go to like a funeral or something, she'd see a light-skinned woman that would look better than her, she would get jealous of it, and vice versa. You know, a light-skinned woman that didn't look too good, they would see her, you know, and she was a pretty dark-skinned woman. They would get, you know, they would get jealous of her. So I think it all goes back to back in the day, you know, and it's a true saying, what comes around goes around.
So let me ask you, brother, are you, what would you consider yourself out of three categories, dark, brown, or light? Where would you find yourself?
Brown.
All right, so you're in the middle, but let me ask you this, because a woman was telling me today about, literally she has two children, and one of the kids makes fun of the other child that she has, calling him black, and every time it comes out of her, they get upset. It has something to do with the skin color of the darker one. Did you ever do that to anyone?
No, I sure did. No, I didn't do it. I've seen it happen to some people, though, but I never did it. I never did it to anybody, though.
Okay. Do you think this is something that we'll ever see an end to, that we'll ever get to a point where we're not judging the light-skinned person as the better person, the light-skinned person as? Because if you listen to it, a lot of times when you watch television shows, notice when they have the disrespectful secretary, some dark-skinned chick.
Yep. You know what? I was watching Tyler Perry today, Why Did I Get Married? And the role of, I think it was the beautician, was the black lady. I can't think of her name. Why Did I Get Married? I can't think of her name, but she play in ATL, and she playing a lot of the movies, but her role is always like this black, like, ghetto woman, you know?
Yep.
And she used so much. She was the only one on there that used so much profanity versus, you know, Janet Jackson and the other, but she was a dark-skinned woman. And I can see how the media plays a huge image. Media plays a huge role in what we as black women think of one another, because they portray lighter toned women as the basically the nice woman, and then they portray the darker toned women as like the villains, you know?
Exactly. Right. Well, thank you for your perspective. Well, no, I'm sorry. Thank you for your perspective and giving me a call, and keep on listening. I want to answer more calls because the lines are lit up, and I just want to hear various opinions. Is this your first time listening?
This is my first time listening, but I'm one of your Facebook friends, so I always make comments.
Who is this?
This is Tiffany Ballard.
Oh, Tiffany, yeah, you be sneaking on me, ma'am. Okay. Nice to get a voice with the face. Is your husband on my page?
He is. He listened to you on Monday night, and then he said, babe, we got to listen to him tonight. So we just tuned in, but I think you're in Atlanta, so it's like an hour difference. We're in St. Louis. So
yeah,
we.
I got a lot of people from St. Louis that show me state. A lot of you guys are on my page. I don't know if I just went on a St. Louis binge one day or what. I don't know. But y'all got some fine women out there. I'm just going to throw that out.
Yeah, you got a lot of love from here, man, for people in St. Louis. You really do, bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I got a lot of y'all. I was like, wow, y'all talk a lot apparently. Y'all tell each other stuff. So I guess I better try to make sure my show don't suck, because I won't see the 314 come up no more on my show.
Yeah, St. Louis, yeah. We definitely listening to you every night now. I guess when you post them, we're gonna come on and listen and see what's going on. And we comment on your post every time you post. Like last night I posted a comment.
Wait a minute. You posted on the Facebook and After Dark?
On the Facebook After Dark, yeah. The lights on, like, yeah.
I remember your comment.
Yeah. So I always post when I see, like, different things I post on there.
All right. Well, girl, keep on coming, keep on listening, and I'm going to answer some more calls, and I'm glad you got some new audience members. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, bud.
Enjoy your night.
All right, you see you guys. Oh, that was a good call. I like that. Let's see. I'm going to add some more. This one, I don't know who this is. This is Katrina Hunter. Is that you? Katrina? Are you there? Well, it says Katrina Hunter, but she's not speaking. So let me ask her another phone call. Why is Katrina not speaking? Nicole, why is Katrina not speaking to me?
Katrina, where are you?
We're going to answer another phone call. 404-786, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, who's this?
Hello?
I can hear you.
Oh, you guys were saying somebody else's name.
No,
hey,
we were saying Katrina. Oh, you. Oh, just Georgette. What's up, Perfect Teacup?
Yes. Hey, everybody. How's everyone
How you
doing,
doing girl? I'm fine. That's what the soul said.
Oh, like, well, she's right.
Thank you, thank you. Now, what do you think about this issue? Because I know you like a paper sack brown. Because we went out and had drinks, you were paper sack brownish-ish. But then I guess
chocolate. Like, hold a Hershey bar up to me, and it would disappear. That's
well, first off, everybody compared to me is paper sack brown. I'm sitting here with my laptop in front of me, and it's paper sack brown. I'm just saying. What are your thoughts? Well, how'd you grow up? If you grew up dark like me, if you grew up in the South, how was that experience for you, honestly?
Well, I didn't grow up in the South. So this is kind of different for me because I grew up in Los Angeles, and, you know, it's a big old rainbow out there. And I remember maybe in elementary school getting teased, but beyond that, I don't ever remember being teased by anybody about my skin color. That's certainly not in my family. And my family looks like it's a small world after all. I mean, we run every single color of the rainbow. And there's never been any issue with color in my family. I mean, my family's extremely diverse, so that's never been anything that's come up in my family. But there's a couple things I wanted to say, and one thing I want to say, I want to kind of interject for the light-skinned people because I did have a lot of friends growing up who were light-skinned, who dark-skinned people took it upon themselves to tease them. I mean, miserably.
And we were mad at them.
Being light skinned.
Yes, and we were mad at them.
But you know what? It's not fair. It's not right.
That's not
right.
It ain't right that they get all the attention. It ain't right that they keep letting Flintstones get on TV. It ain't right that Shamar Moore got to be the handsome dude. It ain't right. So we was mad. We was mad every time El DeBarge came on the radio. We was mad.
My girlfriend certainly would have preferred to have no attention than to have the attention that they got. And, you know, and that's something that we really need to work on. I think that it's really about, you know, hatred of self when you just got to think of some reason to hate on another black person. I mean, and it's really bad. It's tearing. It's continuing to tear a community apart, and that's what it was originally, you know, set out to do. I mean, it's not just in America. If you go to, you know, Rwanda with the Hutus and the Tutsis, I mean, those people technically were the same people. They came from the same area. There was every now and then a slight difference in color between those two people, and that was what they based the whole genocide on. You know,
you want to talk about some craziness. You want to talk about some craziness. The North Koreans and the South Koreans couldn't stand each other, and I couldn't tell the difference who the hell was fighting.
and people need to recognize that any time there is a systematic, I guess, placing of some sort of marker identification of otherness that is placed on a people that are really all the same, it's a ploy to get us to destroy each other, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I feel about it. And so that's something that we really need to work on. And secondly, I don't know if this had anything to do with the fact that I came up in Los Angeles, again, where, you know, you don't know who is what and, you know, where they came from or whose daddy is white or Latino or black or what. You can't really tell. I tend to notice that as far as, you know, dealing with men, I never see color. You know, people ask, oh, are you into a light-skinned man or a dark-skinned man? That has never even been something that's entered my mind when I approach a man. And I've talked to, you know, men that run the spectrum. I mean, my friends tease me and they say, oh, you must like light-skinned men. But I think what ends up happening is light-skinned men gravitate toward me.
Because you got some fucking teacup. Come on, dog.
Lighter skinned men gravitate toward me, and darker skinned men tend to not want.
Because you don't have no ass.
because there is a thing, and this is probably one of the only incidences, you know, as maybe in middle school or as a teenager that I remember someone really bringing up color. My hairstylist used to tell me light-skinned people need to get with dark-skinned people so that they can make brown babies. And there's, like, some thing going on in the black community where, you know, we're trying to, like, even it out and balance and make all these, I guess, caramel-skinned kids. See, it started back when your parents were getting together. So
everybody want their babies to look like Nicole. That's what it is. That's what it is. Nicole's a perfect, like, a caramel color, like, you know, just stretch mark free caramel, you know, just, ooh, let me quit. I'm going to have to go to the bathroom for a minute. Y'all finish this.
Oh, my God. But I just think it's, you know, people need to recognize for what it is. It's divisive, and we need to, you know, really learn to grow past that.
All right, Georgia. Well, thank you, Perky Seacup, for giving me a call. I like your thoughts about that. It is a little different in L.A., and I try to tell people that. It's totally different out there than it is out here. You get to the South, everybody's so dark-skinned conscious and don't want to be dark-skinned. And you go up north and go to L.A., it's totally different because there's so many people and so many mixes that you actually can fit in better because, to go to your point, a lot of times opposites attract in order, no matter what it is. And maybe the opposite is if the person feels like they've been like their whole life, they're attracted to something different from them, if that's what they've seen. So maybe that's what it is. But thank you, girl, for giving me a call.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, man. Giselle, what are your thoughts on being dark-skinned? Because you say you're dark-skinned, right? You look lighter than me, so I don't even know how people just, I don't know what dark skin is, apparently, so.
I am lighter than you, and the funny thing is I have a red bone birthmark on the side of my face, so I got teased for that. But my son is mixed, and he's very light. Now, we used to live in Miami, so they thought he was Hispanic. But now we live in South Carolina, and he gets a whole different type of attention.
How old is he?
He's 17. He lives.
You get a lot of ass, don't you?
Anyway,
I'm just saying.
Oh,
I know you're a mother and
everything,
but
huh?
Oh, you're a mother and everything, but you get a lot of ass. I'm just telling you.
Anyway, I don't want to think about that. All the dark-skinned girls here really like him because I always grew his hair. His hair used to be to the middle of his back, but he cut it. So now it's a little past his shoulders.
You like Thugger's Rugged Bone?
What?
You like Thugger's Rugged Bone?
Yes, he does. And he just got the freckles and all that. But I noticed here that a lot of the black girls veer to him. They really try to hook up with him. I mean, and that's what they're thinking. I'm going to have these pretty caramel babies with him. More than I did he was younger in Miami, but he didn't, those type of girls weren't attracted to him. He's always been attracted to black girls anyway. But I just find it real interesting that here he says a lot of black girls love him. I mean, more than he would have any attention from a white girl. And I just found that to be interesting for that reason. And you all said that. And I also wanted to throw out there that I think that it's still biased as far as look at our president. We have a caramel-colored president.
You weren't going to get Wesley Snipes. You weren't getting that. Just the best. You weren't getting me. They weren't trying to see all that. That president just ain't. The only thing we good for is doing Allstate commercials and they love us. We doing Allstate commercials. Are we talking? Would they use our voices or something? It's a dark skinned man. We do voiceovers for everything. We just don't get to do much faceovers. Anyway, I'm going to answer the phone. answer another line. We have a caller 786-344. You're on the air.
Hey, Giselle, this is Darren. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
I want to comment on the dark skin and light skin thing. I think that, you know, we as black people, we're starting to have a separate class inside our own race. We've been fighting this for so long, and we're bringing it right back into our own class. And it's pretty sad when you have to look at a person, I mean, and say, well, he's dark-skinned, he's light-skinned, I like him, I don't like him. But what Martin Luther King fought for so long was just equality. And we actually creating a separation in our own race. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
I really don't. I mean, I have kids from an Hispanic woman. I'm dark-skinned. In high school, nobody paid attention to me. I mean, just being honest, in high school, nobody paid attention to me. As I've gotten older, it seems like I'm getting certain kind of attention, but then they look at me and say, oh, you don't date black girls. I'm like, that's strange. My mom's black. My grandma's black. I mean, like, what do you guys, what's the problem here? But, you know, it's funny because a white, an Hispanic will come towards a dark-skinned man versus they'll come toward a light-skinned man more. But it doesn't matter what race you are with me. I look at the context of your character. You know, I'm sorry. I can't sit here and say I'd rather date a Hispanic woman versus a black woman. I like women.
So what drew you to the Hispanic woman?
Excuse me?
What drew you to the Hispanic woman that you're with now?
I'm sorry. You were echoing. Say that again.
I said, what drew you to the Hispanic woman that you're with now?
Actually, to be honest with you, and this is going to sound strange, I'm with an Asian woman.
You just said you were with a Hispanic woman.
No, I have my ex-wife is Hispanic. We have three kids together.
Ah, that sounds about right.
We have three kids together. It's strange because my first daughter, you can tell that she's mixed. My second daughter looks like she's black, and my last daughter looks like she's Hispanic. And what people don't realize is that a black man is the only man that can produce any race and any color. And I see it for myself because when I go with my kids and my youngest daughter called me dad, they're looking around like, that can't be your dad because she looks like she's Hispanic. But I know that's my child, you know. I date. I mean, I'm a bachelor. I date right now. I'm dating someone that's Asian. She's half Filipino and half Irish. Now, is that because she's white I'm dating her? No, that's because that's who I'm attracted to. That's who I like because her, you know, the conversations that we have. I've dated all races, and I just think that people need to start putting the emphasis on race and start looking at people for who they are.
Well, it's kind of hard, and I understand that you're saying it, but it's still kind of hard for you to say it, that, you know, yes, I date all kind of women, and the last two women you've been with have not been black women.
No,
that's
the
almost
last
like,
woman that
yes,
I dated was Asian. No, the last one before her was a Jamaican.
Well, light-skinned Jamaican, a dark-skinned Jamaican, that don't mean like I've seen a lot of.
She was a Jamaican, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
you
just
answer my question.
No,
answer my question.
She was light-skinned Jamaican.
That's what I thought.
But wait a minute. But the person that I had a crush on in high school was a dark-skinned chick. I love me some dark-skinned chicks, but you have to understand, dark-skinned chicks don't like dark-skinned men.
Yeah, not that. Not in the 80s, nope.
Oh,
I'm trying
no.
to tell you, and I had a crazy crush on her. I'm like, man, I'm still looking for her.
Because I like how you said you date black. You said, what do you mean I don't date black women? My mama black? Well, my mama fat. But I don't
know. No, what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, like, on my Facebook, because people only see the pictures of me and my kids, and I've got maybe one picture of their mom inside there, a lot of them judge me based on that. They say, oh, you don't date black women. I mean, I've had my own friends that I went to high school would look at me and say, you don't date black women. I say, nah, because none of y'all dated me. You understand what I'm trying to say? How could you judge me and say I don't date black women, but when I try to approach one when I was in high school, it's like, nah, you know, you know, I was dark-skinned back in the 90s. I'm still dark-skinned. We wasn't in. Look here, man.
I don't discriminate.
You know, I'm glad you don't, but you have to understand there's a lot of women out there that want these light-skinned babies. They want these pretty hair babies. And I'm saying to myself, it doesn't matter to me. I want my kids to be healthy. Fortunately, I picked an Hispanic woman because that's who I fell in love with. Love has no color. It doesn't. It could have been a fat girl. I mean, I hope it wasn't, but anyhow. It could have been a fat girl. It could have been anyone, but people are always trying to look at, let's mix this up and let's mix that up. But, you know, to be honest with you, it ain't nothing prettier than a dark-skinned child.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing prettier than a dark skin child.
Well, I'll say this. You guys sound real nice and real kumbaya, but it's easier to say something. Like, it's easier for a rich person to say, I wouldn't mind if I didn't have any money. But you keep having money. So it's very convenient to say. It's like when people used to tell me, when I hear people say, light skin went out in the 80s. Well, I keep hearing that, but I keep seeing the light skin dude keep, it's just like what he just said. Did you hear his comment, what he said, or what you said when you said pretty hair? Again, I remember I used to hang out in college with a couple of light-skinned guys, and I remember one of the girls told me, she said, you hang out with them light-skinned pretty boys. I said, what you mean light-skinned pretty boys? I said, I ain't pretty? Well, you dark-skinned. You can't be pretty.
Oh, my goodness.
That was her response.
You know what? You're absolutely right, and the sad part about it is that, you know what, our kids hear this stuff, and they grew up to be like that also, and we don't even realize what we're actually doing. It's like, for me, you know, we don't talk about race with my kids. We don't talk about race because, you know, if you look at my kids, we're like the rainbow color. We don't talk about race. I can care less who they bring home as long as the person they bring home loves them and respect them. You know, I don't care about race because race has gotten this country where it's at right now, class, you know, and it's going to be a continuous problem because nobody wants to step outside the box like MLK and say, you know what, let's stop this. Let's stop looking at all this stuff and let's look at the person who they are. And it's so sad because it's still going on right now. I mean, like, nobody remembers MLK until around, Black History Month. Think about it.
I was about to say. Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
I mean,
no, you are exactly right. Here's what I hate to cut you off, but I got to cut you off because I got a lot of people that want to talk. I got a lot of callers on the line. I want to get to them. I want to get to their opinion. Let me go to another call, 803-556. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey,
this is
Maya.
Millicent. Oh, I thought it was Maya, but it's Millicent. Millicent was cussing me out just a second ago.
You know what I'm saying? Because
you were cussing me out, yo, black.
You know what I'm saying?
Calling
you punk ass nigga. Let me tell you, because you about to be the punk ass nigga for all the punk ass niggas I'm mad with right now. I done closed your shit out. And trying to get other motherfuckers on the line, and I don't even say motherfuckers these days. You know, ooh, Thomas, and you know this is Millicent King. You know that real chick that be on your post just keeping that shit. You know I love the hell out you.
All right, Millicent, you know, tell me in a G-rated manner. Can you tell me?
We got to be G-rated?
We want the people to feel what you're saying, and you know, and not be, because my mama's saved and she's listening. So
my mama probably listening too, damn it, and she in Atlanta, and I'm trying to get my light skinned family on the line, and I done invited people and told them, damn it, you remember being dark skinned and unappreciated, and now they trying to tell us that dark skin is what, you know, well, fuck you, light skinned motherfucker. Oh, we got to say this. Hold on. I got to calm down. And people saying, what you been drinking? Not a fucking enough. It's upset as I am. And look at my brother calling me. Look, this my brother calling me. My brother who actually made me appreciate my being dark skin. Give me 2 seconds, because I'm going to tell you, y'all niggas is full of shit. Please don't. I'm saying, hold on.
And then there's Maude.
Wow.
And then there's Maude.
Woo, woo, woo.
Call a 305-836. You're on the air.
How you doing?
My ears are bleeding. What's going on?
Okay. I was trying to get through earlier, but I couldn't. This is Katrina. I'm from Miami, and I am a dark-skinned woman.
Right, am I?
And what do I do have that in my own family. I have lighter relatives. You know, when I was growing up, I had that mentality, oh, you so dark and this, that, and the other. But I'm mocha. I love my skin. I have I heard the caller earlier, the Caucasian caller, saying that lighter-skinned women, they're more beautiful and, you know, they don't...
Well, y'all are I want to stop y'all. Y'all misquoting him. What he was saying was that is the pervasive thought, that the lighter-skinned woman is more beautiful.
Right. That is a thought, but it's not necessarily true. You know, I was married to... I love dark-skinned men. That's my preference. I love dark-skinned men. Now,
okay, let me ask you, why is it okay for people to say that? And I'm dark-skinned, and I'm one of the most fair-minded people you will find. I put up on my page one day. It's the same thing with that. I put up on my page, I love light-skinned women. People got pissed off at me. I put up on my page, I love dark-skinned women. Nobody said a word.
I mean, it's because it goes back to what the earlier caller was talking about, that, you know, the slave mentality. They feel like lighter is better. But
do you think that's fair, though? No. I'm saying people got upset when I put up light-skinned women are beautiful. Why is it wrong for me to say light-skinned women are beautiful, but then turn around and say dark-skinned women? But when I say dark-skinned women are beautiful, I get praised for saying that. Light-skinned women are scared to say something. It's just like when Monique get on stage and she was saying, "Are these skinny bitches?" When she says that, the skinny women can't say nothing. But if a skinny comedian gets up and says, "These fat bitches," everybody's upset. When a black comedian gets on stage and says, "We got Mr. White Man in the crowd, he's got a better credit score than us," everybody laughs and the white person can't say anything back. When Seinfeld gets on stage and say, "We got Mr. Black in the crowd," everybody hold their wallet, there's a problem. I don't like the double standard part of it. If you can't say a light-skinned woman is pretty, you can't say a dark-skinned woman is pretty.
No, I believe everybody's pretty in their own light. You know, light, dark, whatever color you are, you're pretty in your own light. But, see, growing up dark-skinned, I had that problem as well. But, see, right. I didn't go toward light-skinned guys, and this I stayed with what I was attracted to,
right.
Dark-skinned guys. I mean, I'm like your co-host. I date across the board. You know, my ex-husband is what you consider brown, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm attracted to people who's attracted and like-minded like me. It really doesn't matter. But growing up, I had that, you know, that stigma like, "Oh, you so dark." But everybody who's like looks at me and see my skin, they were like, "Oh, you so pretty skin," and they wouldn't think that I'm American from Miami. Everybody thinks that I'm from somewhere else.
Right.
You know, I would just blame beans. But I love my dark skin.
Okay. Well, you know what's harder than growing up dark skin?
What?
Growing up got it. Let me answer the news.
Great.
Thank you for giving me a call, Katrina. I'm trying to answer more of these calls because the call lit up, and I just want to hear what the people got to say.
Okay.
Keep on commenting, and we're going to stay on the after show, so I might bring you back for the after show, so stay on the line.
Okay.
Oh, man. See, I'm very lame, Nicole. If you hang around me, you will get some lame jokes. I will spit them out. They will come fast. They will come quickly. Sounds like me. Anyway, phone caller, you're on the air, 404-880. You're on the air, caller 404-880. You're there. You're not there? All righty then. I hear him and I talk when he got a homeboy in the background and stuff. I hear him. I hear. Oh. Let me see if I answer. Another phone. Wait a minute. Let me make sure that wasn't Renee.
No, it's not me.
So Renee got all these damn phone lines. She's killing me. But I'm gonna tell you who I am want to talk to. I want to talk to my baby. Is this Monique? Monique, are you there?
Yes. I'm here.
Hey. All right. Dark skin, long hair. Tell me about yourself.
What do you want to know? You just told them everything. I'm dark-skinned.
I want to know about you growing up being dark-skinned. How was that?
Oh, growing up being dark-skinned, I mean, probably I had the same experience as you had. Kind of tar baby, you know, within my family. I'm the darkest, so. But when people see me, she's a pretty dark girl. She's a pretty black girl.
Mm-hmm.
Little chocolate chip, you know. But always, you know, pretty long hair. She's just so dark, but she's pretty though. So.
Do you know when you came to the party, my birthday party? You know that one of the guys said, why does she have all that weave in her hair? I said, that's her hair. You know what he said? I've never seen a woman that dark with that long a hair. It can't be real. That's what
he said. Wow, and you know what? That's kind of weird to me, I guess, and I'm a little different. I see a lot, not to say light-skinned women aren't beautiful, of course, but I see an awful lot of beautiful dark-skinned women. Beautiful hair, beautiful skin, and I don't know, for some reason a lot of people, they don't recognize that, but I see it. Good hair that you talk about, I see a lot of dark-skinned women like that. So,
well, Monique, I can tell you why we can't recognize. Because y'all mean as hell. Y'all dark-skinned women mean. Y'all be going to fight. y'all, because it's just like me. Okay, me being dark-skinned, let me tell you, the last fight I got into, I'm 19, I fought my homeboy in college. I ain't never had to fight since. And I didn't have to fight like 10 years before that. You know why? Because people don't fuck with dark-skinned men. All I got to do is talk loud, and they won't say nothing.
You're right.
I probably
You're
can't
right.
fight a lick. I bet if somebody grabbed me, I'd probably scream like a bitch. But it don't happen. Don't be laughing. I'm just saying it. But it don't happen because dark skin, and y'all women, you know, dark skin women get you told. Again, every time I've been on my page, I've usually gotten told by dark skin women. They get mad about stuff they shouldn't get mad about. Fuck you and your name changes. Really?
Well, unfortunately, like we said, a lot of it has to do with how we're being portrayed, and some of us fall prey to that, and we just go along with it, with the bad attitude and getting you told, but not all of us are like that. So.
Well, you need to talk to them and tell them to stop doing it. I'm going to let you go on back doing what you're doing. I'm going to try to get, like, two more phone calls out of the way. And all right, dog. Thank you.
Bye. Uh-huh. Bye.
I know she don't want to talk. I think I know this is Ruth. 850-982, you're on the air. Is this Ruth?
Yes, it's me.
This is funny. I have gotten to the point where I know y'all's number. There's like 99 people on this damn line, but I know y'all's number. I'm going to ask Ruth, I'm going to give you 2 seconds to say something. Go.
Your show is, sounds good.
What do you think about the color issue? What do you think about my color? Do you think that I'm handsome and worthy of your sex?
The color issue, I really don't. On that part, I don't think that, you know, it should be an issue. Because, you know, I like dark-skinned men, so. On that note about that part. I can't answer the other part, though.
You can't answer the other part. That's a lie. You are like these people going, it's just me. Girl, ain't nobody but me. Well, I'm going to keep you up. I don't like messing with you, but I know you want to be a part of the after show, so I'm going to put you on hold. I just like messing with you, you and your dark skin and men like yourself. And damn it, I'm tired of you. I'm tired of you, Renee, calling from these damn numbers. You think I don't see your ass calling from all these numbers? The hell you got so many numbers? Your phone bill got
to
be $9 billion. You got to have the highest phone bill in the history of man. Nicole, if you don't know, Renee has like 99 phone numbers, and I don't know where she get them from. I don't know how she rolls like that, but she has more numbers than you can shake a dick. I mean, a stick at. And we got another phone call. I'm going to try to answer this phone call right here. This is 404-718. You are on the air. Why don't you do that? I hear you. Who's this?
This is Julia.
Hey, damn, Julia, you got like 3 or 4 numbers.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. I don't. This wasn't the number you was on a minute ago. I'm putting you on hold.
I know.
Damn, what are these people just calling from dual numbers and stuff? This is 404-438. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
Marcella.
Hey, Marcella, Mrs. Moscato. How you doing?
Hey, everybody.
Well, you brown-skinned, light-skinned-ish. What would you be considered?
I consider myself brown-skinned, but a lot of people say light-skinned.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, how was it growing up light-skinned? Was it fun? Was it everything I dreamt it would be?
I don't know. I think majority of the people in my family are light-skinned, so we don't have, like, a different variety of colors, but I know in school a lot of people, I guess like Monique said, would say, oh, she's pretty to be dark-skinned. And I'm like, well, what's the difference? Why would it be a difference of somebody saying she's pretty or ugly because she's light or dark? Because there are some light-skinned people that are not pretty.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I heard about that.
But let me. But damn, that amen corner got loud. He damn right he did. You were an ugly nigga with light skin. So let me ask you though. So when you benefited from it though, I mean, did it bother you to watch it, or did you? I want to know. Did you participate in it? Did you get mad at any one of your dark skin friends and say, "Shut your black ass up"? Or what did you do? Call him blurple or whatever. Did you do it? Be honest.
No, I never did.
But you called me that.
Don't tell that lie.
Yes, you did.
Come on, I'm tired of you lying on me.
Over here, I'm like, what? That's not sexy. Well, you know what? There's one topic we don't mind hearing that, though, as far as men. I can't wait to have that big ass dick. I don't mind that, lady. If you say that, that is not offensive to me. I'll go with that. That week. We can roll with that. I'm just saying. All right, so you benefited from it, but you never did you come to the aid of any dark-skinned people that were getting hurt?
Did I do what?
Did you come to the aid of them? Did you help any dark-skinned people out that were getting dissed and you know, people talking about them? Did you come and say, you know what, y'all leave this chocolate bar?
I don't think I necessarily defended them, but I just would, you know, make a comment and say, well, you know, what's the big deal? Because even, like, certain people would say, oh, well, you know, all light-skinned people have pretty hair and, you know, dark-skinned people have nappy hair. And I'm like, that's not true. Why would, I mean, because I know a lot of people in my family got some nappy-ass hair.
I got some light-skinned homeboys. They might be listening. Courtney and Tyrone, they twins. They real, real, real light-skinned. Look like their mama and daddy was white. Now, everything on them is light skin except they nose and they hair. Tyrone, them nose spread out to their ears. They're what? That big on their face.
Oh,
and their hair was so nappy that you couldn't even perm it. The perm would just stop and be like, this is ridiculous. The perm would give up. You know how perm normally just burn your head? It will quit. Now,
wow.
But chicks still wanted them dudes. They was like, they light skinned. I never understood it. It was just because, you know, they light skinned. They would even call them the light skinned twins. They would love them light skinned twins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just funny that the way it fits like that. Marcella, are you drinking?
No. You hear
You're not drinking?
No.
No, I'm drinking. No. Like that stopped you from drinking before. Come on.
You know what?
You were trying to be all cute on him like they didn't hear you driving down 285 the other week, drunk as hell, calling somebody, I just want to know what you're going to pay me. This is the wrong number.
I'm at work this time and I'm not sneaking.
You're not sneaking? Oh, shit. They don't relax y'all work cold now?
No, I'm on my lunch break.
Ah, look at you. Oh, you trying to do it right. Because before you up there under the table talking like they can't see you at the 911 center.
Stop calling out my job.
You know me. If you tell it, I'm telling it. If I know it, I'm telling it.
Have
I ain't the type to keep on secret. Well, girl, you want to keep on listening for the after show?
No, I got to go.
Fuck you then. How about that? I'm starting to get like that other lady that called.
No, right? What was that about?
Now you're proving that you dark skinned people are, have a lot of rage.
Yeah, I'm dark skinned. I got a lot of angst. I don't even know how to spell angst, but I got a lot of it. I'm just going to throw that out there. Well, girl, go on and get up under your desk and handle your job.
Okay.
Hit me up later.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye. Oh, ladies. This is I want to squeeze another call in, but I don't think I'll be able to today. Man, I wanted to see you. Oh, hell, why not? Damn it. These people still calling you. I can't get them all on here. Renee, what am I going to do with them? All right. 678-592, you're on the air. Real quick. That quick, huh? 678-592, you're on the air. You're off the air. I'm going to try. I'm not even going to try to pick up one of these calls. I can't. I don't have enough time. Ms. Nicole, thank you for joining me today. Thank you for having me. In a few minutes, we're going to do what's called the after show, but I have to close it out for the people who are listening online. Did you enjoy your experience today? I know I did most of the talking. You didn't get a chance to talk in, but that's what the after show is for. Did you enjoy your experience?
I sure did. I had a good time.
Okay. Thank you. Well, in Louisiana, is color a problem down there?
Well, we do have a bit of a little divide or whatever. I mean, certain neighborhoods are specific to, you know, like light-skinned people who grew up in this area of town and dark-skinned people in this area of town. So, we have that here. It was funny. I was listening to one of the callers talk about, you know, those light-skinned women. I actually had that, like I said, in my own family. Like, my mom was kind of like that light-skinned chick that my dad used to date, you know, and his sister and, you know, his sisters and some of his family members would give her grief because she was that, you know, that wannabe white chick. And, you know, we have a lot of that here.
Oh. Well, I am sorry for that it still exists. But I had to deal with a lot of it growing up, and it was very hard on me. Renee, you grew up in Boston. How was that?
I didn't have any issues with Boston, and most people that I talked to, of course, call Boston a very racist city, but I didn't have any of those experiences. And for the most part, everywhere that I lived and the schools that I went to, it was diverse. It was very multicultural, so even with the blacks, light versus dark, we didn't have those kinds of issues. Not that I'm aware of, anyway.
Not that you're aware of.
I do think a lot of times, you know, with the lighter skin, like you, a lot of dark skin people, like you're trying to be white. Like, I had no choice the way I came out. I really did. And like I said, you know, I'm the darkest of all my siblings, so I kind of was like an outsider within my own family. I felt like it sometimes because I wonder why I didn't have the same hair and skin, why I don't have freckles and green eyes and all that good stuff.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Nicole, like I said earlier, it sounded like it was a joke, but I'm being very serious. We really could not stand light-skinned people. It got to a point where it was irritating. I'm in the store trying to pick up stuff, and my light-skinned friend trying to pick up stuff, but he get people to help him before I get people to help me. It used to make us mad. So we would pull out the anger and take it out on y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Your World by Views. I'm your host, Mr. Thomas Sotomayor. Thank you for joining me for the first 2 hours. And as I know, we go into what is called the after show, starting promptly at 10 o'clock. But I have to let you guys go. We've had Nicole, the Iron Babe Coleman. And what is your website?
Actually, you can find me on Facebook as Super Nick the Iron Babe. My website is www.theironbabe.com.
Or Theron Baby, or whatever it is.
Theron Baby.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed the show, and I really can't wait to hear what people got to say when we let them be a little less inhibited, as this show wasn't inhibited by a few of the callers, but it gets a little wild in a second. This has been Your World, My View. I'm your host, Mr. Thomas Sotomayor, and thank you guys for calling. We had a lot of callers, a lot of you on the after show. The light skin and dark skin issue was one that's very touchy for me because I grew up on it thinking that I was fighting the world being a dark skinned man. But at the end of the day, we're all the same people. We all have our own preferences. We all have things we do like and don't like. So it's kind of hard to change the whole dynamic of the situation and say it should be like this, it should be like that. So people will always carry the burden. But when society decides what is beautiful, or you can decide what's beautiful, then that's when you stay as a problem. Again, this has been Joe Borough. Thank you for joining me tonight. I see you guys on Wednesday where we talk about relationships yet again. Good night, everybody.
Woo! Look forward to this time so I can hear this man say this.
Yeah, let's hear about these guys.
I got 25 times you work for me now. I'm not on the bus. I'm out of bathroom. I may have shit my pants. Drink of water?
Nope.
Aspirin? Nope. Voice toilet?
Nope.
Tonight's case, it has been an honor and a good being.
You know what, Giselle? I just heard what he said. He said you got a paper towel and water or more towelette.
Mhm.
Cause he said his shit in his pants.
Yes. Yeah.
What bar are you at? You know, shit on yourself. And I guess you probably like Otis at that point. I think that was his name. Where you know they just know that's what you do. You gonna come and you gonna get drunk. You're going to shit on yourself. But they just talk to you like everyday conversation. Because they were really just being nice to him. He was, I didn't think I just shit in my pants. Nicole, have you ever shit in your pants?
No, I can say I have not experienced that yet.
Woo, have you almost shit in your pants? I think everybody has almost shit in their pants.
I shit in my pants.
Okay. Who shit in their pants?
I was like, this is the bitch you've been ignoring, Thomas. I'm so mad with you right now. This is Miller.
I have not been ignoring you. You're trying to get me kicked off the air.
I'm not going to get you kicked off the air, baby. I'll bring you back home. I'm good. Yeah. No, I was about 6-7 years old. That's what I was trying to tell you. It started back then. Grew up in the bougie neighborhood. In grandma's backyard, I'm like, you know, I'm almost 40. You remember back in the day when we wasn't allowed to be running in and out the house? It didn't get this hot. It didn't get this cold. And when it did, grandma and them took care of us.
Right.
Okay.
No, you had a time. I remember growing up. You're right. Then that's what's wrong with these kids. When I was growing up, at about 10 o'clock in the morning, they sent your ass out.
You got out at 10, shit, my ass was up at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, and grandmama used to put a cup of ice water in a pitcher outside, and we wasn't allowed to come in the house. We played in the backyard, in a neighbor to the left, in a neighbor to the right, to the front, and we could see them all. And damn it, we played. You know,
in the old days.
What in the good old days? They sent us down to the country. We got ringworm. We got gangrene.
I can't relate to that.
You ain't grow up in the country.
No, I didn't grow up in the country. I didn't know. That's wild.
Oh, so you grew up in California.
Yeah, there's ringworm and stuff. I don't know about that.
See, I grew up in the deep South Carolina country. But then we was bougie as hell, too.
I said bougie with ringworm. Explain that.
Motherfucker say, she slept too long on that floor. She grew. Let me tell you something. My folk make up some shit. And then when they put some shit on it, it's cute as hell. Let me tell you.
Okay.
We some motherfuckers. No, let me get on the subject that I came to you for.
Right.
So much shit up. You done made me so mad. I did drink. Hell, I didn't drink.
I would have never guessed.
Me neither. What the hell? Hey, everybody, this is Noah St. Kenya. What's happening with you? Thomas.
Yes.
Hello.
He said, Thomas, car baby, sort of bite. I'm so fucking through with you. Like, I'm not gonna even support your punk ass no more.
Oh my
because,
God. You gotta support
because,
me. You like dogs and men. That's bad.
You know what I'm saying? Because me and you would never get along because you tar baby, you dark skin. And then I heard that bullshit saying you and a dark skinned woman could never get together and have a pretty baby. What kind of fragile like a bullshit is
that? I never
said
that. I know when what happened when I was growing up, I didn't want my child to be as dark as me because I didn't want to get fucked up.
Listen,
people got to learn that when I'm talking in stages. What I'm trying to do is help the people who are listening by saying I've been there.
I ain't help. I need help dealing with your ass. But you know what, I look at this. And I was like, I love this nigga. And I don't recommend the people to be your friends, but I recommend some other folk to be your friends. Done fuck me up because the night that you come on some Swingers Anonymous was the same night. I said, I love Jesus. And then I done bust out. Look at my pictures. You bullshit, this is Mr. King. Go to my profile. Hey, bullshit.
Wait a minute. So you said the same night we threw the swingers party was the same night you said Jesus?
Yeah, you goddamn right. And then the Swingers Anonymous was on top of the Jesus shit. And my family said, we ain't going to even mess with you about this on Facebook. We going to pull you to the side at the annual family Christmas breakfast and say, what the hell is you talking about?
So wait a minute. So you accepted the swingers party invitation and then they
right.
started.
I didn't know that shit was. You got that right, but I didn't know that shit was gonna be all on my profile. Everybody needs to know about that shit. Goddamn. I said, what the hell? And my family, they some freaks too. We go to church. We direct the choir. Shit, we going to teach some Sunday school. And we going to cuss out a bunch of other little freaks up in there because that's just what we do. You do what I say, not what I do. And then she said, there's a whole bunch of laptops up in here you can go in here and correct that. And then Aunt Dolores and Grandma there, they're looking at it like I'm crazy as hell. They ain't seen me since Thanksgiving. And they know this bitch crazy as it is. I said, I got to go up in there and delete something. I got to go modify some shit. And then, now, I ain't even supposed to be saying the word shit because I don't even sound like him. I'm like, oh, hell. How the hell the preacher's wife? I'm the preacher's wife. Y'all think I'm bullshit? Preacher's wife. How the hell you up in here talking about some shit? Millicent, did you just hear what you just said?
Let me ask you, Millicent. So you would have attended our swingers ball?
I couldn't go because the family had done said they're gonna fuck me up because I can't go.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't play it off no more once they saw what you was gonna do.
I know more people than a little bit, and more people know me than a little bit. Thomas, I'm more popular than you are, and I ain't even go to Atlanta. You know me. You don't even know. You damn listen. I go up in there, motherfuckers be like, what the hell? Goddamn, the preacher wife doing up in here. Goddamn. Everybody go. I can't. You know what? You want to know why I don't do drugs? You know, okay, why
unless
I can't do drugs.
Alcohol is not a drug. Go ahead.
I can only go to the alcohol store, but I can't get no drugs. I done tried to go buy some weed, but I can't. I got to go to the dope man on the third party. How you do a third party dope deal? Because when I go to the hood, motherfuckers say, oh, hell, Popo in the house, party over. I'm telling you, party. Because, bitch, I can't even smoke no weed.
Hello?
The bitch. I'm saying, you know what?
Thomas,
I know, right? Damn it, the hell, Millicent. That bitch don't just be on your post just saying, if I could really say and just, like, express the shit that be on my chest. Thomas, we can blow up. Oh, that little brother blow up. Because it's been crazy as hell. I'm crazy.
Oh, my
God. But let's get back on the black people and the dark-skinned people.
Hold on, wait a minute, Millicent. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm gonna ask you to hold on for a second. You gotta hold on. Let me. What I'm gonna do is ask you to calm it down. And I'm gonna, Nicole. This is what happens on the after show. I'm very sorry.
Well, I'm going to have to depart the after show. get myself together so that I can be up and at them for 5 in the morning.
Wow.
Girl, go ahead and do your thing. I thoroughly enjoyed having you here. It was fun.
Thank you.
It was so nice to meet you, and I hope you like my little line there that I have for you.
What was her line? What was her line?
Say hello.
Who's that talking?
Me, Nicole.
Okay, well, all right.
I wanted to know what her line was.
My line?
Wow.
Tough line. You forgot it already?
No, I remember
the line.
I was probably somewhere else. You don't even understand the hell that I've been through today.
Hold on. That's not Nicole.
She sounded so nice.
That was Nicole cussing me out. See what I'm talking about?
I'm cussing you out.
I want to know the goddamn lines. Just give me the lines. Time is.
You got to stop for a second. Hold on. I got to let other people talk. Hold on. And I got to say a sayonara to Nicole. Nicole, thank you for joining us tonight. I really enjoyed
having you. Thank you for having me.
All right,
Nicole, you had a line, email it to me, please, baby girl, for real. I ain't bushing you, because if you had a line that was that damn crucial that put people trying to cut me off, I need that shit. Y'all be
just
playing.
Let me know when you like to have me back.
No,
Hold on. Hey, Melissa, please. Come on now. I'm trying to talk to my guest. Come on now.
She's trying
hold
to email
on.
Me the line.
All right, she's going to email it to you. You got to let me talk to the rest of my people now. Come on.
Hey, y'all. Hello.
Bye, me. Bye, Nicole.
Bye-bye,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, call
thank
the girl
you.
Naked. How you going to call the girl naked? See how rude you are.
Why does it I don't even know. Ooh.
Turn.
Hey.
Huh?
What is that?
Who do you
think? We got Giselle. Who we got on the line with us?
Renee, and I can't do nothing about it.
Somebody named Renee? Nene? Is that Nene
yes.
on the line?
Ooh,
Nene. Renee?
I'm here.
I done lost the damn page and shit. Mama done called me and told me to watch the People's Choice Award. My auntie done said try to download some other shit on the website. And then they
don't
tell me about
choice. God, I don't like the choices.
Millicent.
If y'all just give me my moment to tell my story, I'll tell you in a minute. Okay.
But, Millicent, can I ask you a question, please?
Please.
This is Nene talking.
Hey, Nene.
Hey. I enjoy your posts on his page, too. But before you have your moment, can we just do a quick roll call, if you don't mind? We just want to make sure that you have an audience when you do have your moment, okay?
Yes, baby girl.
I'm there.
I'm going to mute me out.
Okay. All right. Thomas,
you
I'm handing the mic
yeah.
back to you.
Yeah. No. You handle it. I'm looking for my Xanax.
Renee, can I interject for a minute? As a disclaimer, do you see how you got me to cooperate and go along
yeah.
with the game plan and how women know how to deal with women?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. It's all good.
No, it's better than that.
Oh, okay.
And I'm right here. And I'm right here doing what the hell I need to do. And they
all right.
And somebody else done called me, and Thomas wanted to look for some Xanax by the white man, by the man.
Okay. Well, you hang tight just for a quick moment, because I want to find out who else we got on the call, okay?
Yes, baby.
All right. Giselle, we got you. Thomas, we got
Hi,
you.
TJ.
Millicent, we got you. That was Millicent.
Oh.
Who else did I not call?
Katrina.
Julia.
Okay.
Yes, Katrina, right. Julia, and Jasmine.
All right.
I know Ruth is there, but Ruth is not going to speak, and I can't blame you, girl.
She said her name, I think. Yeah, because a few of them spoke at the same time.
Well.
Let me see.
Open up the chat, then we will all know who we are, and we know how to find the damn chat or something else. Saying, you know, I just chat. Renee.
Yes.
Renee don't do no real shit, but Renee is like, if we had like an after show some shit, like saying shit. All I'm saying is, you know, God, every great man is a damn great woman. That's why we got us a damn black. That's why we got us a black president. That's what I was just talking about. That's the point I was trying to make. You think we got us a black president all willy nilly, and we got us a whole black first lady? You know that bitch running around with a goddamn scarf on her head. You know why? That bitch running the world. Not Barack. You know why? Because it takes a black woman to tell a black man, you better not walk out this goddamn room with that goddamn fucked up ass towel. That bitch running some shit. Michelle Obama? Yeah, bullshit. If you want to, Thomas, I love you. You know I do.
Oh, yeah.
I do. Carly
yeah,
said
do.
Something right now. He said, light versus dark. If y'all ain't seen, what was that damn name of that movie? Do the Right Thing, when the AKAs and the what you calls and the dog people and the shit. Let me tell you, I was supposed to be a dog.
That would have been school day.
School days. I'm supposed to be a Delta. A Sigma Theta Zeta.
You were supposed
Delta.
To work at Delta.
Them
so you supposed to work at
Delta. Oh, I got a job, them motherfuckers said. That motherfucker said she is too ethnic. You
don't
know.
I don't know where they would get that from. I really don't. I think
you know
that's
what?
Just...
You're wrong.
We're going to always be wrong. I don't give a damn. But let me tell you something. My brother, pull up my Facebook page for real. My brother said, because I thought I was supposed to be a Delta. Delta Sigma Theta or Sigma Theta Delta or some shit. Supposed to be something. But my brother, happy birthday to the new Kappa Elvis, are you? You know? What? Oh, today is the Kappa birthday. Y'all missed that one? Kappa Elvis, sorry, today is their
birthday.
And my brother came home from Morehouse College. My brother told me, he said, if you played anything other than Alpha Kappa Alpha, If you wear anything other than pink and green, I don't give a damn how dark you are. He told me with his 7 foot self, he said, I'm going to whoop your ass. And when I say 7 foot, and I'm damn 6'2 and sexy with some heels on, pull on my shit.
I want to ask, let's see, is Tiffany on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, Tiffany, let me ask you a question. You seem like, what are you like, brown skin, light skin, what would you be considered?
Brown skin.
All right, let me ask you, did you grow up in the South?
Yes.
All right, growing up in the South, being brown skin, do you think color was ever an issue, and what side did you fall on since you were basically in the middle?
Well, I've gotten it from all different angles, from
like going to school with people, people at work. I've gotten it all around because in high school I went to a predominantly white school, and I've always had either shoulder length or longer hair. So they look at me, and I'm the light-skinned black chick with freckles. And so the first And when I was a cheerleader in high school, so and I played other sports too. So, you know, Friday nights when we have to wear a ponytail, everybody thinking, oh, that's a weave. No, it's my hair. It just actually touches the bottom of my neck because it's my hair. It doesn't have to be a weave because I'm light-skinned. And I don't think I'm light-skinned. I think I'm brown-skinned. But I've gotten it from work, too. Darker-skinned women have made comments about me in different things. And it has also nothing to do with my skin, but the way I carry myself or the way I speak or just other things. But I have gotten it from all different angles.
Tiffany, what when you say the South, Tiffany, what part of the South do you consider yourself growing up in?
I'm a Florida native. I just recently moved from Orlando to Tampa.
Where were you born?
Orlando.
You're not Southwest. I mean, that is South, but when we talk about South, where the color of our skin was affected, you have to think about the Bible Belt portion. You have to think about the Confederate States. That's basically where the color came from. And where, and Tiffany, I love you. I mean, I do. And I can hear you. Y'all laughing. I ain't bullshitting.
No, I'm laughing. That's coming, I think it's coming from your house.
No, but see, when Tiffany
asked
her. Oh, she does. She probably was laughing at the kids. But I'm understanding. See, with Tiffany, and then she said she was a dark-skinned, you know, a chick with the freckles.
No, not dark-skinned. I'm not dark-skinned.
Dark-skinned.
I'm brown.
You know, you're just right. Brown-skinned. See, under-skinned. Angie had to make a damn song about brown skin. I love your brown skin because we didn't appreciate brown skin brothers. Because I'll be sure with his one eyebrow passed, you know, brown skin wasn't in. It was nothing but high yellow, light skin, you know, vanilla, white, half white, pretend to be white. Little some bitches. That was the acceptable.
Oh, wow.
Millicent, can I cut you off? I just wanted to finish answering Thomas's question, the other half of his question. And the other half of that is men, I get approached more by white men or light-skinned ones versus dark-skinned. I don't know why, and I'm more attracted to darker-skinned men.
Really?
And
that
other
comment
is for Millicent, which she was talking about. The AKAs versus the Deltas. I went to Florida A&M, which is in Tallahassee.
FAMU?
Black school.
The one,
yes.
my first letter that I got, FAMU? Oh,
hell yeah. Oh. And at FAMU, even though it's a historically black school, when I pledged AKA, the majority of my sisters on my line were fair-skinned or my tone versus the Deltas, which were darker-skinned. And it just happened to be that way. I'm not saying it should be that way. It just happened to be that way. They were darker than
no
me.
They were
darker than me. The Deltas were darker than me. And
they had no choice
was
at that time. Tiffany, how old are you?
I'm 28.
Damn, she damn near my age. She's 10 years old. Yeah, I mean. Oh, shit. I don't know. Fucked up my shit. What the hell?
No, Julia.
But Tiffany, I love you. All I'm saying is you're 28, so you really didn't grow up during the age of where it was really an issue to where Morehouse, Spelman, AT, what was that, Atlanta, when the schools down in Atlanta, Peachtree, when Peachtree became Peachtree. You know, when black people became real black people, when Spike Lee put that, you know, the movies out with School Days, Do the Right Thing, what was the other damn movie? Because, understand, I was a preacher kid, I was a preacher wife, I was damn in church preaching, and they know what preaching was about. So I didn't see that. You know, no, knowing what it was to be, you know, pretty and cool and hip and fly and suave when Different World, when Cosby Show, when we finally began to appreciate our black skin. And Thomas, I appreciate you for doing this.
And I think it's even worse that in 2010, the girl
the damn thing.
I have a bigger, a higher title than her, and she's dark-skinned black girl, called me the high yellow bitch at work in a in a Fortune 500 company, and it's 2010. That's
exactly.
A bigger
issue to me
now.
It's a damn
thing. It's a smarter.
Hello, it's a damn thing. What the
Who's
hell my skin color got to do with anything?
Well, it's Katrina. I had the same problem as Tiffany is, but I'm on the opposite side of that, though. I'm darker, and I'm
thick. How dark are you?
I am dark. I am what you call like a mocha, milk chocolate. I'm still dark.
Okay, when you go get your makeup, what kind of makeup you get, and what's the tone that you get?
Hold on.
The color I get a MAC foundation is a 10, I think it's a 1045, but I necessarily don't have to wear it.
But you're good if you can find MAC.
We're on different sides of the spectrum.
No, but you're good if you can find MAC. I can't find MAC to match my color.
Well, it doesn't necessarily match my color per se, but it's close.
You got to make it work.
Right. So, you know, because see, I'm dark skinned with a red undertone.
You and me both, girl. Like, I'm like, am I pecan tan? Am I caramel? Am I coffee? I ain't listening to you, Thomas. See, this is something that, you know, you done fucked up by doing this because you got to do, like, a part two because there's some shit that me and these sisters, oh, they think I'm crazy as hell, and they right. But
no.
Understand this. No, but understand.
Can I say something for a minute, Millicent?
Yeah, she wanted to finish her point, but let me let her, please.
Finish your point, mommy. I'm sorry.
Thank you. See, I can understand where you're coming from, but see, I'm on the opposite side of you. I am 33 years old, and I used to be a correctional officer. And, you know, I had, the way I carried myself was a problem for ladies I worked with. You know, I'm a dark-skinned lady. I appreciate my skin. I appreciate the way I look. And, you know, I make sure I look well and feel well at the same time. But I had that same problem. Who she thinks she is walking in this, you know, correctional facility like that. And I have no problem with anybody, no matter what color. I can talk to anybody, be friends with anybody. My best friend is brown skin. We don't have issues like that.
So let me ask you, were you getting comments like she was getting, except from the light-skinned people? Because she was, like, in a Fortune 500 company. She was getting a dark-skinned person saying, you know, high yellow bitch. Were you getting comments the opposite way?
Well, see, being a correctional officer, and I'm a very direct and aggressive person.
She was a guy?
No.
Hey.
No, you're offending me. But a lot
no,
of people do-
stop. Let her speak. She's trying to speak. Please.
No,
let her
I
speak.
Was just asking her. I didn't offend her. I'm not just asking her.
I'm not saying you're offending her. She's not getting to finish her point.
No, Thomas, I love you, baby. I'm here.
Please.
No, but they associate women who's in correctional officers and being aggressive as being so, but I'm not.
Right.
Okay. But, you know, I'm a very straightforward person. Nobody would actually say it, per se. But you can feel the vibe and stuff like that. Nobody would actually come to me and be like, oh, you dark-skinned B and this, that, and the other. Nobody would actually do that.
They get their ass
whooped. Basically. But
see, that's the problem. I think you guys are, even though you guys don't like stereotypes, listen at what was just said.
Right.
The light-skinned person
exactly.
who was cussed out never physically threatened anyone. Doesn't
right.
even come across as when she's speaking as, I whoop your motherfucking ass while speaking.
Right.
You ain't met my sister someone, then.
She comes across as someone who's just speaking and just saying. She said, you know, I can't believe that in a Fortune 500 company, somebody called me a light-skinned bitch. But
someone
the dark-skinned
right,
yeah, and but you got the dark-skinned women again. Every time I hear a woman say I'm a strong black woman, I don't hear very many lighter-skinned women say that. It's only the darker-skinned. Every time I hear someone that say the, you know, because I'm strong and I carry myself well, it's like, and no offense, But darker-skinned people, and I was one of them, we feel like we have to boost ourselves up as soon as we open our mouth because we
it's
always
an uphill battle. It's an uphill battle.
For little, no one else did. So if you listen to a dark-skinned person talk, they give their credentials before you ask them anything.
True enough, but see, I've also had a light-skinned woman who called me a dumb bitch, though. In my face. We had a disagreement.
Yeah, that might be because you were doing something dumb.
No.
That's not a
like this. No, I wasn't doing nothing dumb now. So what happened was, is like, I'm a very open person. And when you have seen those people who put stuff out there because they're grown. They don't care who they offend and, you know, what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're grown, they're going to go ahead and do it. Now, this
no, like, because they grown, they think they own. It's a difference, baby girl. It's a difference. It's a difference.
Well, at
I'm
this
here.
Point, this young lady, well, we all knew and she made it known that she was sleeping with one of our married lieutenants. And
wow.
She said,
oh, damn. Oh, she made it known that
she made it known
be done about.
She was very proud of it. Okay? So, even though I knew it, that's not my place. She's grown. That's her business. Okay? We had a
but it was did she uh-huh. make it known to the point to where you couldn't like pull a rug from up under goddamn house to did he ask?
No, she made it known to the point where everybody knew. Everybody knew. But my
don't
point
fuck
was,
with him because I got that.
That's how she wanted hers. But my point was this: I have discussions with people, like I said, all the time. It doesn't matter color, race, whatever. And the discussion was one of the young ladies was she had a child and she was a single parent. And she said she found that it was difficult for her being a single parent and working full time. Mm-hmm. And I was just giving my viewpoint of being a single mother of one, okay? Not saying that's the definition of it, but I was giving my opinion just being a single parent of one.
Mm-hmm.
The young lady that called me a dumb bitch, she already had four kids.
Oh, okay. I'm about to do damn, I wish I smoked some weed at this time.
And two of them was by one of the married lieutenant. So she got offended. She got offended by what I was saying.
But see, but that's what I mean.
What did you say? What did you say? What did you say, Tiffany?
What did you
please
say, Thomas?
No, I want to know what Tiffany said. Tiffany, what did you say for her to be offended? It probably was so tactful.
No,
that's
I didn't say anything. I was in the when she called me a high yellow bitch. Somebody else said that somebody had told me that she said that, and we were in the break room. I was fixing, you know, my lunch or my coffee or whatever.
Ooh,
but
right.
I think the reason that she did that was because of the way I get looked at a lot of times by other black women, whether they're
because
like in their dark
so
skin, because the way I carry myself. But that's
you're
not going to change
dignified.
Regardless, because. I'm proud of the way I carry myself, whether I was a little bit darker or a little bit lighter.
But you know what,
right,
Tiffany? And I'm giving you your props. Understand this. I hear you. I don't know you. I'm not even on the internet right now. But you know what it is? You're dignified. You're classy. You can finish the whole sentence in a correct way that it should be. And then they look at you. You're my damn, like, sister girl, like, I'm going to give you high five, three snaps in the circle, and going to give you a what up, help a bitch, you know. And we're going to go gangster with this shit, but we're going to be classy about this. And when these little motherfuckers act like they don't know, shit, they ain't got no other choice. And I know they hate it on you. And that's why I was asking you the questions that I did, because you didn't suffer the turmoil that I did because of whatever your background and your history that you did. But you're going to have haters. Hate on me, hater. Please keep hating on me because what don't kill me going to make me stronger. And whatever you said or didn't say or interjected or your facial expression said or subliminally said to this goddamn light-skinned bitch who got more issues and complexes. Let me talk about issues more
hold
than
on,
sports
hold on,
illustrated
hold on,
combined.
Hold on,
and
hold
Tiffany,
on, hold
Tiffany,
on, please.
No, Tiffany,
on,
know what I'm
on.
Saying. You
no,
gave it to
but
Tiffany.
Hold on. But I'm asking you. I'm asking you very nicely. please let me take control over my show.
Yeah, I will, but I'm giving up.
My show.
I'm not talking.
You are doing
I'm
that
not.
Now, and it's really starting. I can't even talk to these people because you called
I'm
one
down.
Person, a light skinned, and the one who was talking to you said that somebody just called her that. So we're not trying to
no.
call people light skinned, dark skinned bitch, or nothing. I don't think she has any personal problems with or hang ups with being light skinned. She was telling her story. The dark skin was telling her story. I'm just trying to get a bunch of stories. Julia, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Julia, do me a favor. What would you consider yourself as?
Well, I'm brown skin.
All right, Ms. Brown skin. What were your – you grew up in the South, I know, in Decatur, right?
Yes.
All right. How was your experience growing up dark brown skin? Because you're on the darker side of brown. You're paper sack, you'd be on the other side of it, right? You wouldn't be on the high side of the paper sack.
I know. Right? I'm not on the high side of the paper sack at all. If put it this way, during the wintertime, I'm brown skin. During the summertime, I'm dark skin.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up,
did you have any issues from either side?
I did, and it's sad for me to say this, but I didn't like light-skinned people.
What was your
opinion? I had issues with light-skinned women. I was jealous of them. I thought that they got more attention and that they thought that they were better.
Wow. Now, that is very, very honest, Ed. I felt the same way. Whenever I saw light-skinned guys, I kept thinking they think they're better than you. But a lot of that is, let me ask you this. Did you realize at this age now, because you're 30, right?
Yeah.
Have you realized that a lot of that was what we projected on them because we were upset about the things that they were getting for, in our minds, they're not doing anything, but they're getting something positive? Me, I'm working twice as hard just to get some of what they're getting?
Yeah. That's how I felt. I felt unattractive when I was growing up because, you know, I had extremely so-called nappy hair. And then on top of that, too, being as short as I was always teased for being little. So I was this short. They used to call me a short, nappy hair little roach. And I used to
hate
that.
Oh.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, my God.
So it just messed with me a little bit. I remember going out to different places where light-skinned women or light-skinned little girls would be, and they would fawn over them and say, oh, she is so pretty. She's such a pretty little girl. And then they would just look at me. They wouldn't say anything. They would just look at me. You know, my mother, I mean, like I said, I had very coarse hair, very kinky hair, the kind of hair, like you said, that you put a perm in and didn't even take. That was me, the cuckoo bugs and the BDBs and all that kind of stuff. So, I felt unattractive, but until I grew up and discovered how beautiful I was, that was my issue. I realized that was my issue growing up, and it's not about light skin and brown skin. It's about that person.
But have you noticed, it's funny. We are in position almost like how fat people are in position. Again, like what I talked about on the dating site, when fat people have to, they're called beautiful. They have to stick beautiful on the end of it because they don't feel beautiful, so they have to get the lip service. When they used to always say in the 70s and the 60s, black is beautiful because you had to get the lip service to say it's beautiful. It seems like we are forced or in a position to where we come out a lot and say we are whatever it is we are, strong, beautiful, intelligent, whatever. We have to lead with these adjectives. Do you feel comfortable having to lead with that? Do you feel comfortable having to have this self, I don't know, this self-affirming?
Yeah, I do, because I'm saying it now. That's just because of where I've come from and where I am mentally and how I perceive myself. This is the thing. This is how the beauty, I guess, when I say, oh, I'm beautiful now. I'm beautiful not because of how I look. I'm beautiful because of what I can do for other people. You know what I mean? I'm beautiful because of what's on the inside of me.
And I had to realize what true beauty was, and it wasn't about, you know, the way you look. You know, it's not about that at all, and not about anything physical.
Right.
That's
okay.
What I had
so
to learn.
So you're saying you had to go look, because it's funny, I always look at the idea of like a beauty pageant, and they always talk about how smart or whatever the person is, but at the end of the day, it's which one looks the best. They all look good and whatnot. And when we're dating, like people say, I want somebody to like me because of my mind. And I always tell women, if you want that, then walk outside with a veil on, and like the women over in the Middle East, and then you'll get a man that likes you for how you sound and what you say, because he won't be able to see anything else. But women don't go out like that. They do go out and do their hair. They do wear tight pants and they got a big butt, or they do wear low-cut shirts, they got big breasts. And so at the end of the day, we can say it's about mentally how we feel, but when you go to the club and then you see your light-skinned friend get a bunch of drinks and you don't get any, or when you go to the club and you see your light-skinned friend get a bunch of dances and you don't get any, that has to still affect you, correct? No matter what you say to yourself when you get home.
It does affect me. I have a girlfriend of mine, a close friend, and she's fair-skinned, light-skinned, and she and I will go out, and it's funny to me that men will gravitate towards her first. But she is a beautiful woman. I don't take that from her. She's shapely, and she has a very good, a nice personality, fun to be with. But I'm the last person to be approached or spoken to. And I can't help how other people feel, you know?
Yeah. Now,
and I don't look at it as, you know.
Go ahead.
I don't look at it as, oh, she's light-skinned. That's why she's getting attention. Well, yes, I do, but.
I'm about to say.
Yeah, I do look at it, but I say to myself, those people are still, they still have that mentality. We can't get away from it. We still think that way.
Right.
Because between the two of us, I have the most education. I make the most money. I'm the one that has the most life experience, well, exposure, and polish on me, but they will always gravitate towards her first.
Right. Now, let me ask.
Can I please interject for just a tiny minute? Because I was just on the phone with my brother, if I may. And I'm going to keep it respectful and timeless. Is that okay?
Go ahead.
No, baby, because I mean, I love you. I enjoy this. And I try to recommend people who I know would appreciate you as a friend. Because Henry with the poetry, love him. And I think that we could do great things together. But I wanted to, I don't know who that was just speaking, but see, I am one. See, Thomas, I believe that you are upholding the Freak Nation, which is wonderful. And we got to keep that going. You with me?
Right.
Hello?
Yeah, no. You have made some, first off, you made some very valid points, and I actually wanted to know what, when you were speaking to your brother, what did you guys come up with?
My brother is a brother from another mother. And my brother is, he's my brother because my brother Ryan Jones, look him up, Ryan Jones in Atlanta, of Georgia, if you're on Facebook, if you look him up, that's my brother, my mother, Penny Jones. And I can give you, like, information of, like, my mother, first of all, made me feel like I was a beautiful black woman. Because I've seen men, like, freaking stop traffic. And like, oh, my God. Penny Jones, there's an angel on this earth of Penny Jones. I have men, excuse me, I got to go turn my radio off in my room. I've had her ex-boyfriend. Y'all ain't bothering me. Her ex-boyfriend who could not have dealt with how sexy she was in her day, because I'm like a clone, and I'm not even bullshit. I'm like, you know how they say, if you want to know what your woman will look like in like 20 years, you look at her mother. Well, damn it,
right.
Look at her now. My mother is so damn, I mean, it's like it makes me sick. She's so stank with it. She's chocolate brown. She's like bow-legged. She's like low, dark skin, brown skin, you know. I mean, wavy hair, straight Indian, always smelling good, looking good. She just looked like the goddamn Maybelline counter, if there is one. And we come from a family of beautiful women. And I'm telling you, pull up the pictures on my Facebook. I'm not bullshitting. Beautiful women. I mean, like my boyfriend is like, goddamn, Penny Jones. Her ex-boyfriends, the boyfriends from school, like, shit, you Penny Jones' daughter. They trying to get at me because they couldn't get at Penny Jones. But because I look like Penny Jones, they thinking, we got a chance at this here little y'all here, chickadee. Penny Jones, when I say sexy and stank with it, damn it, we going to be sexy, we going to be stank about this here shit with our brown skin. You kiss our motherfucking ass, you sorry piece of shit. And we going to be gorgeous even when you gone.
Okay.
And I'm,
all right.
And I'm so, no, let me go with this. So my brother, Randall was the one that actually made me feel beautiful as a brown-skinned woman. Because it was back in the day when school days was very popular, school days or whatever, and it was like you had to be, if you wanted to be AKA, you had to be light-skinned. And then basically they said Deltas were fat and ugly and dark, AKAs was light-skinned, good hair, you know, and skinny and whatever. And then, you know, if you wanted to be a model and whatever, and then they had these old dumbass stereotypes. But see, I took a picture earlier. I have a sister. Pull it up. I didn't put it up there. You probably see it. My sister, Willa Jones, stopped fucking traffic. I couldn't keep a boyfriend around her high yellow ass. She was just light-skinned. That's all she was light-skinned with a gap in her teeth. That's all she was.
Couldn't keep a boyfriend.
But
well, I can ask you.
Two days came out, and then, okay, so back in the 80s and in the early 90s, oh, it wasn't that but Millicent Jones who, oh, Millicent Jones, she played ball. She was good. Millicent Jones put the high school on the map. Millicent Jones made USC what it was. Millicent Jones, when you want to talk about WNBA, it ain't about the bitch to shoot my own horn, but let's talk about this. WNBA, Michelle, Tiffany, all them Houston shit. I got an article right up in here and right now. The bitch bad. The bitch bad. Don't let these high heels fool you. Don't let the craziness fool you, because this
okay.
bitch will take you to the court and then
okay.
clean you up.
All right. We got to do it again. See, here's the point. I'm trying to get you to this point. See,
the point is,
I'm trying to address something and trying to address it. We were getting to the point where people were actually starting to say something that was meaningful about what was going on in their lives or what had happened, and I'm trying to address them. When you do this, you're going on and on and on. But
No. Here we go right now. Now I got niggas trying to contact me, telling me that they want to be with me on Facebook. Y'all didn't want to be with me because I was too dark. My sister, light-skinned, Willa Jones, stopped traffic. Y'all can't even pronounce my name, Millicent, because I'm Willa's sister. I'm Willa Jones' sister, but my name is Millicent. Fuck you. They're only trying to get with me because I'm Willa Jones' sister. Willa Jones, light skin. She got a little light eye. She red bone. She bow-legged and pigeon-toed. And she ain't going to give you the time of day. But you got her dark skin sister. Oh, Millicent done grew up? Millicent?
Excuse me.
Motherfuckers don't even know my
okay.
name. I ain't bullshitting you.
Right,
they know
right,
me
got
as.
Okay.
You got it?
All right. Yeah. Okay. I got eight minutes. I gotta let everybody else talk right now. I got eight more minutes. You pretty much taking up about 30 of them. So who was that for excuse me?
It was Katrina.
It was who?
It was Katrina.
Katrina, hey, go ahead, speak.
Hi. Julia, I think that was the last person that was talking before.
Yeah.
Millicent. But I can understand because I didn't have a hate for light skinned people, but I just, you know, at one point in time when I was growing up, I did feel unattractive as you did. But like you said, you have to grow into your own and find, you know, that beauty is not just skin deep. And I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Did everybody leave?
No.
Anyone here?
I think he just got a phone call.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
We're all still here.
Okay. But, you know, we as just black women, I mean, it's just like it comes down to, you know, it should just be like.
I'm going to call you back.
We should all just be in one accord with each other. It shouldn't matter who's light, who's dark, who wears this, who wears that. You know, it should just be.
When I was trying to make earlier.
But I think it goes a little bit deeper, ladies. It's a little bit deeper than being on one accord with one another. We've got to dig deeper and get to the bottom of this. And the women who do have an issue with their skin color or someone else's, we have to say, what is your issue? Okay, well, so what? What does that got to do with you? Oh, do you think they get treated better? Well, I think we need to dig deeper and bring up the history of that thing. It does. Its roots are in slavery. And we need to educate ourselves and enlighten ourselves to the self-hatred and the hatred within our own race. And then with that, we can understand and then overcome and come to one accord. Because you still got people who, they don't care what you say. They still hate those light-skinned bitches. They don't care.
Yep. No, she's saying the way it's supposed to be said, the way it will be said, and she's been 100% correct. And speaking of light-skinned bitches, LaTiffany, why don't you
Was that my introduction?
Yes.
The light-skinned bitch from Florida. Go ahead. You have.
Well, I totally agree with her, and I just wanted to make a real quick comment. I have tried that with someone. It happened at me again before, and it was in college. And I asked her, you know, why she had, you know, such animosity against me. This person I didn't even know. She was a friend of a friend of a friend, and I didn't even know, but she didn't like me. And this is stupidity of some black people. This girl told me that the reason that she didn't like me was because I had long hair and light skin, that I was a sadity, and I always walked around like I was all that. And something else about her man or whatever she thought. But I went there with a black girl, and that's what I got. That's the response I got. So now I just be like, you know what, fuck it. You, and I'm me. And if you don't like me, you know what, that's your problem. Because I go to work to get my salary and pay my bills, not to make friends, not to have peers, none of that. And I leave it at that. You know
it is funny. And that's what I'm probably going to do in part two. And part two is probably going to be light versus dark, and it's just going to be about what are the misconceptions or the preconceived notions about the other side. Because as the white guy, when he called earlier, there are preconceived notions amongst white people towards blacks who are light and dark, and amongst black people ourselves. I mean, I literally have seen light-skinned dudes at the club and thought I could whoop his ass and didn't know him from Adam. Just felt like, well, this light-skinned boy, yeah, you better not say shit. I'm gonna go over there and take his damn drink from him. I'm gonna take his bottle. That's what I'm sorry. I grew up feeling like that. Light skinned dude better not say nothing. And light skinned dudes have to actually prove themselves, just like light skinned girls. They have to prove themselves a lot more, because it's just like somebody's trying to whoop your light skinned ass. Somebody's gonna call you out your name when you stand in the line. And you don't move fast enough. They're going to throw up your skin color, because it's easy for them to say you light skin, but if you say they dark skin, there's a problem. Yeah, I mean, has that been something you've noticed? Like, you can be called high yellow in a second, but you call somebody dark skin, there's a problem.
Yeah, I had a girl fight me because she said she wanted to mess my face up.
Yeah.
I'm sure it had something to do with skin color, but that's ridiculous. Why?
Yeah, because no matter how pretty a dark-skinned girl is, nobody ever says she's Asian. You don't get that. They give her that backhanded compliment. Oh, she's so pretty to be dark. But I've you never hear somebody say, wow, she's so pretty to be light.
No, you don't hear those.
No, no, you don't.
Don't hear those.
Because the majority of light-skinned people are pretty. Well, as far as what people say. Pimple face, light skinned people. But, you know, it automatically comes to people's head that, oh, she light skinned, she cute. If you ever hear a guy describe another female, oh, she light skinned dog, she cute. Oh, because she light skinned, she cute.
Yeah.
She could be ugly, dead body, fat, skinny. She cute, but she light skinned.
A lot of the light skinned ones got the bad bodies. A lot of dark skinned chicks be having the best shape.
Exactly. And I think dark skinned women are beautiful. My mother is light skin, she looks like a Hispanic. When we go places, they speak Spanish to her. And it gets on my nerves. And I don't like light skin people. And it's sad for me to say that because my mother is high yellow. And I when summer comes, I sit out and get a tan. I put suntan lotion on me. I sit out and get a tan. And I'm not even dark skin. I'm like, not light skin, but brown skin. So I think dark women are beautiful. I don't know if it's because my family is from the islands and they're darker women. My grandmother is chocolate, love it, love her skin, everything. I love everything about a dark woman. I've had one light-skinned friend, and I couldn't stand her. My stepsister is dark-skinned. My sister is dark-skinned. I think dark-skinned is beautiful. I can't do light-skinned girls.
I didn't know who that was. Who was that?
Oh, it's Yasmin. Yasmin.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Yasmin, you're fine ass mom. I mean, here's the story behind me and Yasmin. I tried to get at Yasmin mama. Well, how many years ago did your mama say it was, like 5 years ago?
No, maybe like 3 years ago.
Well, I tried to get at Yasmin mama. Yasmin mama is fine. Why is she fine to me? Because I got a light-skinned complex. Everybody that's light-skinned is fine. Everybody that's dark-skinned got a workmate ass off to get my attention. You got to clean. You got to go run a few miles in the morning. Light-skinned girl ain't got to have no job. She ain't got to go nowhere.
Yeah,
Manny
Petties and shop all day, and you be fine with that.
Yeah, as long as you light-skinned.
Yeah, but see, light-skinned women get away with more. If I try to pull the things that a light-skinned female do, they be, what's wrong with you? What's going on with you? Like, it's a problem. But if my mother do it, I sit and watch my mother talk to people like a dog and get away with it. Now, let me pull that. They be like, oh, you cut off. But, you know, because you're light-skinned, you get that extra chance, and it's kind of attractive that you got that attitude because you light-skinned.
Exactly. Because when we look at a light-skinned girl acting like that, we think, oh, that's unexpected. When a dark-skinned girl says, shit, I knew you were going to do that. But it's kind of like think about it this way. Get you a dark-skinned man, he pull out a big dick. That's normal. Get you a light-skinned girl. Let a white boy pull out a good 10, 12 inches. You're going to tell your friend, girl, that white boy got 12 inches.
Where they came from?
Okay.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
You got a few seconds.
But, I'm the dark skinned girl with the attitude that the light skinned girls are supposed to have. Like, I'm too overconfident. Who do I think I am? And this, that, and the other. That's what I've been told. But I don't. You are who you are. That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're self confident and love yourself, that's who you are. It just shouldn't matter what color you are, this, that, and the other.
Exactly. We all equal.
Right.
Well, good show, people. It's about to cut us off, but I really enjoyed you guys, and I hope we can do a part two where we can be a little more serious. We didn't get to be serious at the end, but I want to be more serious on the next one and just address it from the idea and the standpoint of preconceived notions that we have towards the other side, dark to light. I make jokes about a lot of stuff, but I definitely felt the sting of being dark, and I definitely went against, like, I wouldn't date a black girl until I got to college. First girl I dated was middle of my freshman year in college. Didn't like black women. Thought everything about them was ugly, and that's a shame. Grandma, mama, and everybody was black, but I...